to find the answers you need. Let's talk.
For your cars, home, life, and business, Greenwich Independent Insurance has the answers. Speak to an agent at 203-869-0302 and at greenwichinsurance.com.
Touchdown, Ricky Rashika!
This is Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH.
Every day is a beautiful day for football.
Brought to you by...
They are back-to-back state champions.
Garden Catering, Zelens Brothers Auto Body, Chicken Joe's, Glenville Shell, and Jersey Mike's.
Nastahowski blasting right up the middle. Touchdown.
He's got Barber if he can thread it in there. He does on the run. Outside the numbers, near sideline. Touchdown, Greenwich.
It's good. It's good. Greenwich wins on a walk-off field goal. 42 yards. Eric Perino. The Greenwich Cardinals are state champions.
And now with the play-by-play, here are Rob Adams and Dan Murphy.
And with fall knocking on the doorstep, we are ready for Greenwich Cardinals football live from Stamford, Connecticut's Boyle Stadium as the Greenwich Cardinals at 1-0 come to their next-door neighbors to take on the Stamford Black Knights. And almost good afternoon, everyone, with Dan Murphy alongside of me, Sean Kilkelly in the studio. I'm Rob Adams. Cardinals 1-0. The Black Knights, though, I'm going to start there. They are 0-1, Dan, and coming off a magical year. First playoff appearance last year in nearly 30 years. It was the Cardinals who stopped their magic carpet ride in the quarterfinals, but this seemed like a team that was building for bigger things, and they got off to a rough start last week.
Rough start indeed. 35-13 loss at home to Newtown. They did not look good at all. They were down 28-0 at the half in that football game. If you're Stamford, you're really trying to get back on track here. You don't want to get off to an 0-2 start. We know how lethal that can be in this competitive division. So it's going to have to be a week where they bounce back and really put forth a really good effort today.
And so much of their offense runs through their senior quarterback, E.J. Presley.
A two-sport captain, I might say. He's obviously one of the captains today on the football field. He's also a captain of the varsity basketball team. And if you've ever watched some of his highlights, he can make some plays out there too. However, yes, you are right. The offense runs through him. He loves to run the football, whether that's design running plays or scrambling outside the pocket to try to throw the football downfield. He's got a really good arm as well. He's an impressive dual-threat quarterback in that respect. He's got a big arm. He can chuck it down the field and make plays with his arm as well.
But they need to have more beyond him. And there are other athletes on this team. It's just you've got to have a team effort, especially against a Cardinal team that you and I talked about it. We thought they played really good football last week, and I'm not sure they even came close to playing their best.
Well, how impressive was that defense last week against West Haven? Really bottling up their running attack, swarming to the football in the secondary. A lot of speed on that Greenwich defense with the secondary and the linebackers. They're going to have to go up against a pretty talented skill position set as well with Stamford. They really like their wide receiver core, led by senior receiver DeMar Taylor. Cam Cord, their running back, he's a guy who's really impressive to watch. Dual threat from him as well. He can run the football between the tackles. They like to use him a lot in the passing game as a receiver, whether out of the backfield or they will line him up at receiver and throw it to him down the field as well.
And for the Cardinals, defensively, what an outstanding performance in week one. And just stopping any talk of Greenwich West Haven, it was a definitive Cardinal victory.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
It was.
From the opening kickoff, it just seemed like Greenwich had an extra step on West Haven that entire game. They ran the football very well, led by quarterback MJ D'Angelo with over 130 yards on the ground himself. Really a full team effort. The offense really controlled the pace in that first half, and the defense was very impressive as well.
Very impressive. And I thought, in fact, I know Jack Carroll was up for one of the Player of the Week honors in the FCAC from the Rudin Report. So, I don't know how the voting turned out. I think Jack might have won it, actually. I kind of lost track as the week goes along. And I have to admit, I don't pay a lot of attention to those things. I know they're kind of popularity polls, and I get that. I understand it. But just kind of curious. But Jack Carroll played a great game. I also thought Jack Kelly played an outstanding game defensively. The Cardinals just really swarming to the ball in that week one performance as they come onto the field. In the same look as they gave last week, the white with the red, red pants, the white helmet with the Cardinal on each side, they have arrived here at historic Boyle Stadium. And the Black Knights, now coming in through the north end zone in their all black tops and bottoms, the black helmet with the orange, the Knight logo on each side, the white numbers, of course, and hints of orange on the outline. And the pedigree of Donnie Pettipata, their head coach, former Greenwich assistant, local guy in so many ways, and has really put a heartbeat back into this program.
He's really rejuvenated this program quite a bit. You know, as you said, they made the playoffs for the first time in 28 years a year ago. This is a Greenwich guy, Greenwich alum. He knows what it takes to win coming from that background. He's really built this program back up from the doldrums. He's trying to bring this school back to prominence. And week one, he really was disappointed with the effort of this team all around. And in some respects, he feels like they got outplayed in week one. We'll see if they can rebound off of that loss here today.
And I'll also add a tip of the cap to their athletic director here, Chris Passamano, who also does an outstanding job of, again, this is not an easy school or an easy city to have athletics in, but they do a great job of restoring pride and plenty of victories, and that's a good thing. We're going to pause for the national anthem. We'll get things started right after this. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
Garden Catering has become a Greenwich landmark for great food served fresh and fast. Now with 9 locations in Connecticut and New York, Garden Catering continues to make people happy with its famous nuggets, made from 100% white meat chicken with no antibiotics ever, hand-cut daily, cooked to perfection. But there's so much more on the menu. There's burgers, sandwiches, wraps, garden salads, kale salad, vegetarian choices, all-day breakfast. So go to GardenCatering.com, check out the menu and the locations. Garden Catering, food so good, you'll just keep coming back.
Once you get the meat and cheese for your sub freshly sliced right in front of you at Jersey Mike's, I'll tell you, there's no going back to anything else. That'd be like going back to dial-up internet. Am I connecting to space to order Jersey Mike's? Any day now. Okay, it's about to connect. What? Well, who picked up the phone? Nope, there's no going back once you see it freshly sliced at Jersey Mike's. A sub above.
If your car gets crunched, bumped, or scraped, take it to Zelenz Brothers Auto Body. Zelenz Brothers has been rejuvenating damaged autos in the Greenwich community since 1912. First, Zelenz Brothers will give you a free computerized estimate in 5 to 10 minutes. No appointment needed. And when they proceed with the job, it'll be done faster than ever. With Zelenz's state-of-the-art super clean painting and baking booth that can bake that paint job to perfection within a short 30 minutes. Zelenz Brothers Auto Body. Most collisions repaired within 2 days at 37 Sherwood Place in Greenwich.
Chicken Joe's at 231 East Putnam Avenue in Kaskab has fried chicken, gourmet wraps, barbecue chicken, homemade salads, fresh cut nuggets, and much more. And you'll find Chicken Joe's food truck at all GHS home games, as well as all GYFL games. Buy any NFL team hat from Chicken Joe, and 30% of the purchase goes to the GYFL. And for catering and takeout orders, call 203-861-0099. That's 203-861-0099. Chicken Joe's, oh yeah!
I loved playing high school sports. I loved the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, all the pageantry, and I wanted to keep playing. But I graduated. No colleges called, and neither did the pros. So, to stay close to the game I loved, I decided to become a...
Back at Michael A. Boyle Stadium, as it was formerly dedicated in 1938, Greenwich and Stanford getting ready. The Cardinals have won the toss. They have elected to defer for the second half. It is an outstanding day for football. 72 degrees and partly cloudy. The wind out of the north-northeast at 5, gusting to 10. Humidity, 57%. And the chance of precipitation, Dan Murphy's favorite number, 0.
0.0. I love it.
Exactly. It is just, you know, there are some puffy clouds overhead, a few wisps, but no big deal. It is just a nice day off Hillendale Avenue. So we are just about ready for football. The Cardinals will take the field, as we mentioned, in the white tops with the red pants today. And the Black Knights from across the way. They changed that. The press box, as we have highlighted many times, used to be across the field, closer to the high school itself. And they tried putting the Black Knights on the near sideline to where the new booth is, the newer booth. This is now probably 10-plus years old. Fans did not like it. They wanted to be back on the other side, the west side of Boyle Stadium, and so they have returned over there. So it's rare to be in a booth and have the home team be across the field.
Yeah, the logo does look backwards to us, doesn't it? And I'm going to get a history lesson on all these stadiums this season from you, I think.
Yeah, you probably are.
This is a good place to start,
admittedly,
I would say.
This is close to being my favorite, if not my entire favorite. I know you can criticize it a little long in the tooth and all that stuff, but I like these historic kinds of barns, if you will. Ready to kick it off. And the Cardinals will put it in the air with the right hand in the air. I'm going to have to keep practicing the name of the kicker. But Alex has put it end over end, and he takes it at the two. Coming across near side is Elijah Harris. Harris to the near sideline. That ball almost coming out near the 20-yard line. For the Cardinals, brought down by Gustav Pietrzyka. And a first look at the Stanford Black Knight offense. Yes, I met with Alex before the game and was introduced to him, and he pronounced his name to me, and he said, "I understand. Everybody gets it wrong. No one knows how to say it." And assistant coach and Fed freshman coach Frank Wells said to me, "Just call him Alex, Rob." We might stick with that for now, but we'll be practicing.
I know it's tough for you, and it's tough for all of his teachers this year to get that name right, I'm sure.
Exactly right. So the Black Knights will start the party with 11:50 to go in the opening frame. And in shotgun they go. Harris will be one of the backs in the backfield with E.J. Presley, the starting quarterback. On first down, they'll try the ground. Not much there. Bouncing to the outside, but forward progress will go to the 21-yard line after a gain of a yard, as that was Harris on the carry. 1 yard going by Elijah Harris to start the game, second and nine. At the 21-yard line, Black Knights moving from left to right. Shotgun snap, they'll try the ground again. Harris, right side, outside the numbers he goes, and he's tripped up. He got a yard, maybe. And right there again, who did I highlight in the opening? Jack Carroll, the 5'10 senior, makes the stop.
Yeah, he had a big game last week, and Stanford trying to establish the run game outside the tackles here. They've run basically the same play out of that shotgun these first two plays. Greenwich has been all over it.
Gain of a yard, third and eight. Oh, they moved the sideline markers over here, okay. Just to confuse me a little more. Third and eight. At the 22. Setting. Presley throws hard to the left side. That is knocked away and incomplete. Intended on the far sideline for DeMar Taylor, one of their big possession receivers. But I believe it was Guy Germain who came in coverage for the Cardinals.
It was, and that was beautiful one-on-one coverage. Being able to stick with his receiver on that stick route towards the outside, he's able to knock it away. So an impressive three and out to start this football game for Greenwich.
And Vincent Butler, a sophomore, will punt it away for the Knights. No score, we're just settling in. 10:42 to go in the opening stanza. Low snap with time, steps up, sends a low line drive, takes a bounce. Rolling past the Stanford 45, backing away from it is Hector Lopez, and the ball will be downed in plus territory at the 46. Good field position for the Cardinals.
Yeah, if you're Greenwich, that's a pretty good start. That's about as good a start as you could hope for. They'll take that.
Tip of the cap to Brunswick, who went all the way up to Salisbury last night, an impressive 34-14 win. I don't know if their head coach, Wayne McGillicuddy, feels it was impressive. They did leave some points on the field, but when you've got a kicker like Oliver Reynolds, you're able to get some of those points back. So good performance. They led 34-0. 14 fourth quarter points allowed the Knights to dream that they were in the game. Their broadcasters were really, really dreaming. three receivers out to the right side, one near side left. Lopez on first down. No, it's D'Angelo. MJ D'Angelo gets across the 40 down near the 38-yard line. Give him a gain of 8. D'Angelo, a star last week with all of his running, didn't really have to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, we did think in week one that we would see a lot of action out of this wide receiver group, but they were pretty quiet last week, and they really didn't have to do a whole lot. They leaned heavily on that run attack led by D'Angelo.
Blake Martin, the receiver, near side left. Two out to the right. Lopez in the backfield with D'Angelo on second and a yard. Right back to the ground, and Lopez will stretch for a first down. Right near the 33-yard line after a gain of 3. Looked like Raphael Boynton made the stop for the Knights.
Yeah, those were the two keys to the game, the rushing attack. D'Angelo and Lopez had big games last week, and they're picking up right where they left off so far today.
And the Cardinals will get back to work at the 33 to throw. Left side, Martin almost in stride, but he overthrows him by about a yard or two. It'll be second and 10. Menelik Ventor, a junior linebacker, was in coverage.
Yeah, I think Martin had about a step on the defender on that play. There is a pretty stiff breeze blowing from right to left. So that's going to be something worth keeping an eye on.
D'Angelo was 5 of 7 for 62 yards and a touchdown last week through the air. On the ground, 14 carries, 129 yards. Second and 10 at the Knight 23. He'll do it himself on a quarterback draw. Breaks around one tackle, gets inside the 25. He is near a first down, and he has got it, in fact.
Well, you know what? When you can run the football like that out of shotgun, why even try to throw the football? That's a beautiful design run play there just between the center and guard, and he just takes off right up the middle.
It's a gain of 11 down to the Stanford 22-yard line. No score. Cardinals threatening. 9:09 to go first quarter. Trips out to the right. Left side is bare. D'Angelo looking there. Throws a screen. Lopez slipped in the backfield. Sheds one tackle and gets maybe near the original line of scrimmage. Not much going on, but there were a host of Black Knights in the backfield. Jonathan Paul, senior linebacker, was among them.
Yeah, they try to run that screen with Lopez out in the flat, and it's a good idea as long as your receivers downfield can pick up the blocks, and they weren't quite able to do that. So he's fortunate, I would say, to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Stanford once the absolute standard bearer for championships and winning almost in all sports in Connecticut. They were quite the cradle of winning. Pass goes to the left side here on second down. That is caught, shedding a tackle, though, goes Matthew O'Donnell. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Used a move to the outside, and the Cardinals strike first.
Yeah, this is all O'Donnell. This is just a 2 or 3 yard pattern in the flat, and he does the rest. Shakes the one defender and gets to the outside and beats his man to the pylon for the touchdown.
Extra point on the way. It will be handled by Julian Ravina. O'Donnell, his second touchdown catch of the year. And the extra point up, and it is good. 8:14 to go in the first quarter. Greenwich takes a 7-0 lead. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
You're listening to the sports voice of Fairfield County, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Glenville Shell at 222 Glenville Road is the place to refill and replenish and has been for over 100 years. A true old-fashioned, full-service gas station combined with today's modern convenience store. They can keep your car running at its best or bring it back to life with their full repair service. Also, take advantage of Glenville Shell's full-service gasoline fill-ups along with tire pressure check and refill. Or just as happily, you can pump your own. For a service appointment, call Glenville Shell at 203-531-9147.
The Cardinals marched 46 yards and 6 plays in a minute 40. They have a 7-0 lead. And Alex will kick off.
Our good friend Alex down
right
there.
Well, Now that I've met him, I feel more comfortable.
There you go. If he gives you the permission to do it, then run with it, you know?
Harris awaiting the kickoff on one side. Looks like Ventura on the other. And Harris on the run takes it at the 10. Takes a turn to the right. Finds an opening for a moment. Hole closes, and he is greeted by Jack Kelly. Not great field position. They'll put it down near the 18-yard line.
You know, I don't think we've talked a lot about this the first couple of games, but I've really been impressed with Greenwich's kick coverage on kickoffs, on punts. This was another example where, like, the returner receives the football, and you think he's got a lot of room in front of him. He's got, like, 20 yards in front of him, and before you know it, you look up, and he's swarmed by five guys. And that's been the case on pretty much every kick I've seen the first couple of games so far.
And that is special teams coach John Woodring's approach. I'm watching him patrol the sideline with his guys clapping his hands. And on first down, handoff right up the middle, running along the hash marks. Not a bad run to get across the 20 out near the 24-yard line, as that was Mario Haran, the junior, on the carry.
Nice first down carry by number 24, Mario Haran.
It's a gain of 6. Second and 4, Presley will take and give it right back to him, and this time not so much. Going back to the well one too many times will get you in trouble. And looking like a loss there, the Cardinals stepping up with Justin Carroll to make the stop.
Yeah, that's Justin Carroll, and he introduced himself to the back on that play, I would say.
Loss of a yard. Back to the 23-yard line, third down and 5. 7:14 remaining, first quarter, 7-0 Big Red. The Black Knights from left to right here on the turf field. And the shotgun snap, play action out to the left. And down goes Presley. And once again, Justin Carroll introducing himself all over the field.
They bring the blitz on third down, and Carroll gets right past the lineman, and he catches right up at Presley. He tries to escape to his left, but Carroll drags him down from behind.
So three and out for the Knights, and on comes Vincent Butler once again. He will stand with his feet right on the goal line in the south end zone, and Hector Lopez awaiting the kick at the Black Knight 44. There is a wind to speak of, as we alluded to. End over end, short, takes a roll. Lopez misses it at first, picks it up, and he is downed almost immediately at the 40-yard line. Terrence Doyle, senior linebacker, made the stop. But all the action has been to our left here in the first quarter.
Yeah, and again, you can basically repeat the script from the first drive. Three and out forced by Greenwich on defense. They look really sharp. Stanford just not able to get anything going, either in the running game or in the passing game when they've tried it so far. And, you know, you're really setting your defense up in a tough spot here. The second drive in a row where you're starting in plus territory if you're Greenwich. And Stanford's defense, they have a short field to work with. So that's a pretty tough spot for them to be in this early in the game.
Plans for this place were first created in 1933, and then along came the WPA, and that's what put this really into motion throughout the Depression. Baseball was the first sport played here. It was played in 1937, graduation here in 38, and they've been doing it on this turf ever since. First down, it's Lopez on the carry. He'll bounce up the middle, carry a tackler, but really not much there. Maybe a yard to the 39-yard line. First one out of the pile, Jonas Paul, a senior linebacker for the Black Knights.
I would say if you're Greenwich going into this game, one of the keys for them that they really want to improve on is running the football with Lopez between the tackles. I would say that West Haven did a pretty good job bottling him up inside last week. So if you're Greenwich, you really want to try to develop that part of the run game this week, and let's see what they can do on that side.
Second and 10 after no gain. And again, same combination. This time it works, but Lopez slipping as he got down near the 32 after a gain of 8.
Yeah, Greenwich is looking for more of that from Lopez between the tackles instead of what we saw on the previous play.
They picked him up and put him back a yard to the Stamford 33-yard line. Want to take a guess how much it cost to build this?
The stadium, you mean?
Yeah, in the 30s.
$1,500.
Ooh, I'm surprised. No. $400,000, actually.
$400,000?
Yeah. Handoff goes again, and busting right up the middle across the 30 for a first down.
You know what the
Lopez once more.
The stonework looks pretty good, I should say. But I'm not very good with my inflation math, so.
Fair enough. See, I thought your experience of, you know, working with building things, I thought you'd be right on top of those numbers. But you're right, the inflation factor, good call.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, original cost of construction was $400,000, and the capacity was $5,900, and the Cardinals looking for more, and a catch made left side, touchdown. Right back they go to Matthew O'Donnell, and that combination is working perfectly. A touchdown for Greenwich from 29, and Donnie Panapata out on the field and red hot.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a blown coverage or something, but D'Angelo takes a snap, and O'Donnell is by himself down there at the 10-yard line when he gets him the football. And that is an easy pitch and catch touchdown there.
Ravina for the extra point. And the extra point put down and kicked right through. Well, we'll see what he's mad about in the orange polo across the way. 14-0 Greenwich with 4:24 to go in the first quarter. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Every Tuesday morning at 9, the curtain goes up on Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn, focusing on arts and entertainment. Pamela searches for the artist's creative journey and interviews guests ranging from singers, musicians, dancers, actors, visual artists, and authors. It's the show about the artists and their craft and the personal stories that make up their incredible lives. That's Center Stage every Tuesday morning at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
All Cardinals early on, 14-0. They marched 40 yards in just four plays in a minute 50. And they are ready to kick off.
Yeah, you said it. All Cardinals early, putting on a clinic on offense and defense, and on special teams with their kick coverage.
By the way, if you were a Cardinals student showing up today, you were to show up in the Hawaiian shirt look. That's the kickoff taken by Harris back at the 3. Moves to his right and is taken down at the 10. And the Cardinals just keep moving the ball back further. And I bet you'll never guess who made the stop. It was Jack Carroll.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad I spent 30 seconds talking about kick coverage last segment. Because now you know to expect it and look out for it. Because, yeah, another beautiful job on kick coverage there from Greenwich.
And the nose of the ball will sit on the Stamford 10. Michael A. Boyle was not only the football coach here, he was the athletic director. He was coached from 1907 to 1938 with 229 wins and 14 ties out of 283 games.
I'd say deserving of having a stadium named after him, wouldn't you say?
An 809 winning percentage. Yeah, I'd say that was pretty good. First down, Presley with a handoff, bouncing left side. It's going Huron around the left end. He'll get out near the 15. Carroll there, along with Santi Parra, the junior linebacker. Second and five from the Stamford 15-yard line.
Yeah, and if you're Stamford, you're now in a 14-0 deficit early in this football game. I don't think it's quite time that you have to abandon your game plan at this point because there's still so much time left, but you really got to start pushing the ball down the field here if you're Stamford.
3:48 to go, first quarter. Huron again left. No, actually it's Presley off a good fake, but he was able to get only back, maybe to the 17-yard line. Maybe a gain of two off that little misdirection. They'll give him two and bring up third and three. Black Knights have yet to have a first down.
And one of the things that Greenwich's defense really wanted to neutralize in this football game was E.J. Presley's running ability. We know that he's certainly capable of taking off and making all sorts of Lamar Jackson-like plays at back there. So,
DeMar Taylor out to the right, matched man-to-man with Noah Steele. Cardinals showing blitz. Here they come. He's in trouble. He gets away from Parra, but he won't get away from the rest of them. He is sacked back near the 11. Finished off by Kyle Ebanks.
And Power's not going to get the credit for the sack on this play, but this is a sack caused by him. He rushes on the blitz. He's unblocked. Nobody picks him up, and he is in Presley's face before he knows it. And he's able to evade him, but he's got another defender right there waiting to clean up after him. You know, and again, you know, the pressure being brought by Greenwich with the extra attackers and Stanford unable to pick them up, and it's been something that they haven't been able to figure out so far. Third straight three and out of this game.
And Butler again kicking from the shadow of his own end zone. He will punt this away. Spinning to the near side, turning, bouncing at the 34. It'll get past the 40 and to the 42. Blake Martin was back there for the return, and he let that go as it was down by the Black Knights, Jonathan Paul. By the way, between 1911 and 1920, Michael Boyle's teams were 83-4.
That sounds pretty good to
me. Yeah, that's pretty good. Stanford High, 20 state championships overall. Now remember, the CIAC, which is really what we've come to know, consider that the Super Bowl era. That's the modern era of Connecticut football. A lot of championships were won prior to the CIAC era, which began back in the 70s. First down for the Cardinals. They will go. And they will run. And they will continue to run with D'Angelo. And then he throws it right, and it's incomplete. Intended out to Michael Golden, the 6'6 junior tight end, who was out there on the right side. But that was after a lot of misdirection moving around in the backfield by D'Angelo.
Yeah, D'Angelo scrambling around quite a bit back there. He buys himself enough time to make a play downfield, but Golden unable to come up with it. I think they're fortunate that that wasn't a sack, to be honest with you.
I agree. Second and 10 from the Black Knight 42-yard line.
Yeah, so here you go again. Greenwich has been earning their paycheck today in Stanford territory. So we'll see what they have in store for Stanford's defense on this drive.
Trips out to the right. Black Knights rushing five. With a slap of the hands, it's D'Angelo off a play fake left side. 20 in a foot race. Down to the 10. And he's taken down near the 6. Elijah Harris loses the helmet. He'll have to miss a play, but it's a first and goal after a long run.
We have not talked yet about Greenwich's offensive line, but I think we have to address that at this point. D'Angelo takes the snap, fakes it to the back, and it is wide open, up straight up the middle for him, and he goes untouched all the way down inside the 10-yard line. That's a beautiful design run play there.
It's a gain of 36, first and goal, with a minute 39 to go in the first quarter. Harris tried to stay on, and the officials caught right up to him and said, no, you lost your helmet, you got to go. He'll be back. That is that automatic rule as D'Angelo's lined up in shotgun. Lopez to his left. Lopez, no, off a play fake. It's another touchdown right over the middle. And this time, guess who? Right back to O'Donnell.
Young man's got a hat trick here in the first quarter, huh?
I mean, that's living pretty well. That's a natural hat trick in my eyes.
It sure is. Yeah, just a beautiful slant pattern that O'Donnell runs there to the inside. And a nice throw by D'Angelo in traffic there to get it right to him.
And Ravina will try to tack on the extra point, and he does. With 1:24 remaining in the first, we'll stay here because we'll take the break, obviously, at the end of the first quarter. But it is all Cardinals right now. Look, after 35-13 last week, I wondered how well the Cardinals could come in here and play. They're kind of exceeding my expectations right now.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of looked at it from the other perspective of saying, you know, you're Greenwich, you're going up to West Haven. They had a huge win up there week one. Would there be a little bit of a slide or a letdown here, at least at the beginning of the game? Boy, it sure doesn't look like it here, does it?
Not at all. Not a problem. Three plays for the Cardinals as they go 42 yards on this drive, and they do it in, about 45 seconds. That's living well.
Yeah, that sure is. Yeah, and this is, again, another fast start by Greenwich. You know, 14-0 against West Haven, and here they are, end of the first quarter, and they're up 21.
Kickoff on the way. End over end, returnable. Harris at the five, running right. He likes going right each time, but he runs into Jack Kelly near the 16. And that's hurting them also. None of these returns are giving them very good field position.
Yeah, you're bottled up inside the 20 to start every drive, and you're having to punt, and Greenwich is taking over in your territory every time.
Senior defensive back Brandon Brutus is on the turf and being helped up. He's back on his feet. So for Stanford, look, the obvious first thought is you got to stay on the field. You got to keep the offense on the field.
Yeah, the offense has got to get something going, whether that is Presley using his legs, getting them out in space, or his receivers, you know, making plays down the field. They've really got to see if they can come up with something. They've not been able to run the ball effectively these first three drives, so they're going to have to open this up and start throwing it more down the field.
Presley will line up with Huron out to his left. Harris to his right, and on first down. Pass, it's a screen left side, and that's shut down immediately. Jack Kelly's right there for a loss of more yardage, going back near the 11.
That's a beautiful read by Kelly. He recognizes the screen play immediately, and he just flies right to the football there. And that's, you know, you want to make plays down the field. You do not want to start out with a negative play on a drive like this.
Inside a minute to go in quarter number one. Greenwich with a 21-0 lead. Second and 14 near the 12. A fake, and it goes with Presley. He gets tripped up. Tripped by Carroll as he gets back near the original line of scrimmage, maybe closer to the 17.
Yeah, so he made up the loss of yardage on first down, but now, again, you're setting up with third and long here coming up. Yeah, I think both teams are going to be content to let the clock run out here on the first quarter.
You are quite right. Clock ticking down. And quarter one in the books, and a pretty successful one for the Greenwich Cardinals. They take a 21-0 lead at the end of one. We'll see you for the second quarter in just a moment. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Glenville Shell at 222 Glenville Road is the place to refill and replenish, and has been for over 100 years. A true old-fashioned, full-service gas station combined with today's modern convenience store. They can keep your car running at its best or bring it back to life with their full repair service. Also, take advantage of Glenville Shell's full-service gasoline fill-ups, along with tire pressure check and refill. Or just as happily, you can pump your own. For a service appointment, call Glenville Shell at 203-531-9147.
Start of quarter number two, and finally, the field had been tilted to our left. Rob Adams and Dan Murphy will now be looking to the side of the field to our right.
Yeah, you know, you could almost question whether we were playing on a full-length football field. Everything has been to this side of the 50-yard line the first quarter. But yeah, just to give you an idea of how one-sided it's been, the total yardage, Greenwich has led that 128-5 in the first quarter.
So, goodness.
If you're Stanford, hey, it can only get better from here. And if you're Greenwich, they've played about as good a first quarter as they could on defense. Let's see if they can keep it up.
Third and 12. Two in the backfield. Tyler Cord has come into the backfield. Presley off a pump fake. Now throws deep ball, double coverage incomplete. Two defenders back there. Chase Anesta being one of them. The other being Jack Carroll. And the intended receiver was Justin Bacco, the senior receiver. And again, Black Knights go three and out.
Yeah, on that play, Presley threw it before he really wanted to. He was pressured, and he scrambled to his right. I'm not sure that that pass wasn't intended for somebody else, but he threw it deep just to try to get something going. You don't blame him for that. But, again, good coverage on the backside by Greenwich's defense. And, yeah, as you said, another three-and-out force. That's 4-for-4 for Greenwich's defense.
Butler on to punt it away, this time with a little bit of breathing room, his feet standing on the 5. Low snap, almost blocked. He does get it away. Takes a positive roll. Actually is touched at the 47. That ball looked like it was going to go into Greenwich territory, but not the case, and there is a flag down. There was contact with the punter, Butler. And let's see if they got Greenwich for roughing the kicker. They are talking to Donnie Panapata, and now they're turning and heading toward Greenwich, and the call is against the Cardinals. But the four fingers are up, so it is not a first down. So it wasn't roughing. It was apparently running into the kicker. And I can hear them yelling down below, punt return. They're going to do it all over again. Blake Martin making his way out there.
Yeah, the Greenwich offense was walking out there. I don't know if they knew there was a flag on the play, but so in high school there is the rule for 5-yard and 15-yard, just like in the NFL, right?
Yes, they have moved the ball up to the 23. That, by the way, first penalty of the game.
Yeah, we haven't heard from the officials. They've been quiet so far today.
I think overall most guys prefer it that way, and the Black Knights, by the way, have put the offense back on.
Oh, okay.
And taking the snap on fourth down, that stood no chance. It really stood. It was 4th and 3, Dan, and wow, that stood no chance. Presley trying the right side, nothing there.
He tried it, but, you know, what we have seen in this game so far is a repeat of what we saw last week with Greenwich's defensive line and their linebackers just swarm into the ball carrier. No matter where he is, no matter what the play is, Greenwich has just, it just looks to me like they have way more speed on the field than their opponent, and that's another example of that.
So it'll be Cardinal football in a golden opportunity at the Black Knight 23-yard line.
You know, you don't blame Stanford for going for it in that situation. You know, you're down 21-0. You're trying to get something started on offense, so I can understand why they would do it in this situation.
And the sideline marker is tough to see, but it was 4th and 3 or 2. It wasn't that bad. Cardinals, though, are going to take a timeout. And let's face it, you're looking at 11:40 remaining in the first half. To be quite honest with you, this is the attempt for a knockout punch right here.
Absolutely. You know, going on the road, this is your second game in a row to start the season on the road, a second straight game against a team you faced in the postseason last year. You know, all these games are tough, you know, they're home or on the road. So if you're Greenwich, you're taking nothing for granted here, getting a short field and a chance to go up, get even more points here early in the second quarter. That's what Coach Morello talked about with us. He's like, you know, look, I want 48 minutes from these guys. And so you know he's not letting up one bit here early in the second quarter. And if your coach on the Stanford sideline, you know, you've got to be really searching for answers. You know, you were down this much in the first half last week, and you're not looking significantly better. In fact, you could say they're looking worse this week out of the gate here in the first half. So, you know, he's got to be really scratching his head about, you know, what's going on with his team.
So out come the Cardinals. D'Angelo stands in shotgun. He's got Lopez to his right. First down at the Black Knight 23-yard line. Two receivers to the right. Play action. Throwing right. That's tipped and incomplete. That got tipped at the line of scrimmage. MJ D'Angelo with his hands up to say, what happened there? 2nd and 10.
I don't know that that was on him or anybody on the Greenwich side. It was tipped by somebody at the line of scrimmage. He was looking to go to Blake Martin on that slant pattern inside. And I think play was there if the ball doesn't get tipped.
1 really good game in the FCAC last night. I'll take a moment to highlight that. When we get a moment. 2nd and 10. D'Angelo off the fake. Tries to run it. He tries to break away. Has his jersey grabbed. He'll get a yard maybe. And a little extra grabbing after it's over. Good job by Jonathan Paul, the linebacker, to stop D'Angelo. It'll be 3rd down.
And if you're Stanford's defense, you know, they've got to find a way to make a play here and hold Greenwich at bay on this drive.
It's actually a loss of a yard. 3rd and 11 at the 24. Danbury had built up a bit of a lead on Trumbull, and the Eagles came back and got a victory up at Danbury High School last night, 29-21. Good win for Mars Petrosio and company. 3rd and 11 and a whistle right as the Cardinals went to snap it. Do the Black Knights want a timeout? They do. So each team has spent the timeout. 21-0 Greenwich, 10:50 remaining in the first half. But I want to shout out my friend Jeff Alterman. He, of course, the play-by-play lead announcer for the 10 Network, the Trumbull Eagle Network. And I saw them announce on Trumbull Football announce on their Twitter page, their X page yesterday, that the 10 broadcast wouldn't be happening due to unforeseen circumstances. And I have enough of inside knowledge with Trumbull Athletics that I shot Jeff a text and said, hey, everything okay? He was not feeling up to it, unfortunately. Took a little ill on Thursday and said just felt it was best to rest. And I said, you know, he said, any chance you can get there? I said, I'm on my way to Salisbury. I didn't know really who to get at that point that could go log in and call the game for them, and they would have had a good one to call. Jeff's fine. He's going to rest a little bit. They should be right back at it, and we will see the Eagles in October back at Trumbull High School, a Friday night game. And
yeah, that's going to be a fun one, isn't it?
That it's always fun to go to Trumbull. Mars is one of the great coaches in this conference and just a really great person. And, yeah, you'll have a fun night there. We will work together with the 10 Network that evening once again. 3rd and 11 at the Black Knight 24. D'Angelo, a little sidearm pass. That is complete. Running along the hash marks and down near the 9-yard line goes Michael Mineo, the senior receiver.
Boy, 3rd and 11, big-time opportunity for both sides of the football. D'Angelo finds the open man. That's a big 3rd down completion right there.
You know, the funny thing is that's only the 3rd 1st down for the Cardinals so far.
Yeah, their 1st down total doesn't look all that impressive,
yeah.
Right? But they've been picking up the yardage in chunks here so far.
1st and goal at the 9. 2 receivers right, 1 left. Lopez in the backfield and whistles as they snapped and a flag down. And this is going to be a false start on the Cardinals. Only the 2nd penalty of this contest.
That will back them up, huh?
It will. Jeff Alterman, a lot like me, when we were first starting to do these games, we wanted the moon, sideline reporters, extra microphones, and Jeff loves all that. When he first put the 10 Network together, he bought a mixer that was bigger than his car. And I'm like, what are you doing?
We did put in a call to Erin Andrews. She's not available today.
1st and goal, right side pass, sideline in the end zone, incomplete, intended for Martin. It'll be 2nd and 10. Good man-to-man coverage down there, but the ball also overthrown.
Yeah, they want to see if they can get Blake Martin more involved in the offense. He was pretty quiet last week. He did have a couple of catches, but All the big plays have gone to Mr. Matthew O'Donnell on the other side so far.
4 touchdown passes on the year for D'Angelo, all 4 of them to O'Donnell. 2nd and goal, but they're going from the Black Knight 14. And they'll go back to the ground. Only a yard or so off the left side for Lopez. It'll bring up 3rd and goal. .9:39 remaining first half, 21-0, Greenwich on top.
So here you go again if you're Stanford's D. See if they can make a play here and at least hold Greenwich to a field goal attempt. I think they would consider that a win on this drive.
Third and goal at the 14. So that was actually no gain. Trips to the left. D'Angelo's looking right, though. Slings it right and almost intercepted. Intended for Lopez out of the backfield. The coverage from Brandon Brutus. It'll be fourth down. And it looks like the Cardinals will bring on Ravina for a field goal try.
Yeah, I think Stanford will be happy with that. Just to get off the field with not allowing another touchdown for Greenwich.
We'll call this a 31-yard try. From between the hash marks, O'Donnell the holder. Cardinals need an extra body. Man. Michael Golden comes out.
There you go.
And now a whistle. And Tony Morello wants a timeout.
Yeah, a little disorganized getting their kick team out there. Coach out on the field shaking his head. He's not happy with that.
So since Jeff initially bought that Big Bertha mixer, I think that's what he calls it. It's really nice, but it's so involved that there was a learning curve on it for me. And I said to Jeff, if there's a learning curve for me, what are you going through? He said, oh, I forget which company he bought it from. I talk to them all the time. They help advise me. But we worked with him to help get that going. In fact, I was their first play-by-play announcer because they initially did a scrimmage. It was their back in the day of spring football. They played the, I think it was a golden or a black and gold scrimmage that they would play. Cardinals used to play the red and white.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have to go back to graduate school in order to learn how to use that thing.
31-yarder. By the way, I've got a postscript to that in a moment. Ravina for this 31-yard try. See this mixer we've got here, the little Zoom PodTrack B4? Guess who has one now? Jeff Alterman does.
All right. Good man.
He is like, oh, I like that one. Yeah, that's a space saver. That kick is twisting left, and it is no good. Wide to the left. So the Cardinals will keep the lead at 21 right now.
Stanford hasn't had a whole lot to cheer about so far today, but that's a win for them, I would say.
And remember, the wind is bouncing around here, so that's a factor, and it is blowing in the face of the kicker going left to right at the moment.
Yeah, we were wondering during pregame if that was going to be a factor here today. It's not a consistent presence, but there is a breeze coming in from the north today, blowing from right to left, and not sure if that had a whole lot to do with the kick. It might have, but that's something to bear in mind here as we go forward.
First down for the Black Knights. They'll go from right to left now with trips out to the right. Presley rolling right, still rolling, fires toward the sideline. It's incomplete. Looked like it was out toward, I'm not sure if that's Brutus. Sometimes the numbers, especially the way they sit on the uniform, the very rounded numbers can be a little tough to see. Might have been Haran, actually, the intended receiver, but nonetheless, incomplete, second down.
Yes, the defense came up big with a stop there. Let's see if Stanford can capture some momentum here and get something going on offense.
Black Knights again, play action throw, that's complete, but a short gain. It's only going to be about 2, maybe 3 yards. That ball gets to the 26, and he was roughed up so immediately, I wasn't even sure who caught it.
Yeah, very minimal gain on that play.
Might have been Bacco for just that short gain.
So it's going to be third and long. And again, this is where you look for Greenwich to bring extra pressure on defense.
Looked like they gave him maybe three. So third and 7, let's call it. Trips out to the left. Presley, shoulder fake, gets away from Parra. He'll tuck and run. First down and more. 35-40. Midfield stumbling as he's tripped. Gets around a Cardinal and into Greenwich territory, losing his helmet at the 37-yard line.
Yep, that is E.J. Presley at his best right there. They do bring the pressure, but he's able to evade it. And once he takes off, he is into open space, and he is one of the fastest guys on the field.
And it's a gain of 37, a first down.
And if you're Greenwich on defense, one of the things you wanted to do in this football game was limit Presley's big plays on the ground. They gave up one there.
Clock stopped, 8:02 remaining in the first half, 21-0. Greenwich quiet in this quarter. Dave Fiera walking the Greenwich sideline. Greenwich Sports Beat is where you can find him online, best reporter in the area. Does just a great job on his website and really is the guy covering Greenwich sports these days. Right back to the ground, go the Black Knights. And they rumble forward past the 35 near the 34-yard line with Harris on the carry. It's a gain of 3, second and 7. Black Knights can put this drive together and finish. You get to 21-7. Well, becomes a little bit of different thinking.
I think it becomes a game again at that point.
It becomes intriguing for sure.
Yeah.
West Haven, by the way, got on the positive side of the ledger last night. They got their first win of the year. I saw they knocked off Shelton. Back to the ground go the Black Knights. They'll try the right side, going all the way to the end, turning along the sideline near the 31. Goes Tyler Cord. They give him 2. I think he got, maybe 3. Looks like they're marking it toward the 31. So it's going to bring up what I would call a 3rd and 5. Yeah, I'll go 3rd and 5. Saw Sheehan and Xavier had an intriguing game last night. A couple of games got postponed. I'm not sure why. I did not ask around.
The weather conditions were too good.
I will offer you a thought in a moment, and I don't like the thought I might have to offer. On 3rd down, the Black Knights trying the push, and there's no push there.
Yeah, nowhere to run on the interior of that line this time. Greenwich bottled that up.
Back goes Haran, and he got to the 29. They actually moved him forward for a gain of 2 with forward progress.
That's actually the kind of a play call where if you know you're going to go on 4th down, it's not a bad idea to try to pick up some yards on the ground to make the 4th down play a bit easier.
So this puts you right around the 4th and 2. 7th play of this drive, actually. So games at Coventry, Amity, Bassick, Torrington, and Ludlow all got moved. And a timeout spent by Stamford. They have one timeout left. And it has been a week, Dan, in which there have been a lot of, well, frankly, threats that have been made towards schools, and schools playing it very smartly, taking safety obviously very seriously for first and foremost the students, but obviously, you know, in terms of athletics, you got to think about fans and staff, personnel, everybody involved. So I think some of that is what you're looking at as reasons for these delays.
Yeah. It's really an unfortunate situation. We've heard about things happening elsewhere in the country, not just in Connecticut so far this school year. You just hope that whatever is going on there can be resolved and we can, you know, get past all this and get on to having a very productive football season, which I know is what we all would like to have.
Let's face it, we're here for football and the fun and all that. We know there's a real world. We're trying to take you away from it, but I am duty bound to at least explain to you what's going on there. 4th and 2. Black Knights from right to left. Presley takes. He's going to hand it off. Near side running Harris. Harris stretching. He's right near the first down marker, and I believe he's got it. Leaning forward, he was taken down by Chase Anesta. The Black Knights indicating like they've got it, and the officials do concur. Inside the 30, they'll mark him at the 26. It's a first down. So the Black Knights continue on. Eighth play of this drive, trailing 21-0.
Yeah, this the previous play, they've had trouble running the football between the tackles, but on that play, the handoff to the outside works pretty well, or works well enough for them to pick up the first down.
4:40 remaining in the first half. Shotgun snap, Presley goes right, and the catch off the fingertips, incomplete, intended for Taylor. So Presley and Taylor not able to get on the same page so far in this game.
And that's been a big factor in why the scoreboard is what it is at this point. You know, Taylor's their big play receiver. They would love to get him more involved in this offense. He's been very quiet so far, held off the stat line so far. Passing game for Stanford really just has not been able to get into a rhythm so far in this game, and that's been a huge credit to Greenwich's defense. But, yeah, that's a big part of why they're down 21 here in the first half.
Stanford at one time, the home of three FCAC teams. Stanford High, West Hill, and, of course, Trinity Catholic. Trinity Catholic has since closed. Empty backfield, rolling right. Presley, with trouble, throws toward the end zone, man on man. Oh, and off the fingertips, incomplete. Steal the defender, and Haran, the intended receiver, he had it.
I think that did catch him in the fingertips, didn't it? That was great coverage by Noah Steele on the back end, and a really nice throw by Presley down the field to just not quite able to connect on that one. It was a great idea, and it was a great shot, but it didn't quite work.
Noah Steele's dad, who we met and were chatting with last Friday night in West Haven.
Yes, we did.
And we ran into Mr. Von Velakis and some of the other dads after the game. Boy, they took care of us. Little bag lunches to take home with us.
Sure, they sure do. It was a very kind gesture.
Very kind, and came in very handy, I will tell you. Third and 10. Presley, stepping right, he'll tuck and run. 20 as he spins, and he'll get no further than that. It'll be a gain of 6, bringing up a fourth down play. Looks like a Black Knight is banged up, and that might be, in fact, Presley.
Yeah, Presley's
who was
down.
Hit hard.
Yeah, he took a shot at the end of that play. Yeah, you hope he's okay.
So he's being tended to. It's not very humid today. As I told you at the top of the broadcast, 57%, but cramping is certainly possible on a day like today.
Yeah, it feels like an early spring day, right? Warm but not hot.
Yeah.
And there is a breeze, but yeah, as he is getting up, you do kind of have to keep an eye on that, you know, at least these first few games of the year while the weather is still pretty warm.
See, former Cardinal assistant coach Wayne Joffrey is here. Wayne, who has since retired, but you will still find him around doing some kind of crowd control at Cardinal Stadium, and always part of the Cardinal family. His parents were such a big part of it for years. Even the football program was dedicated to Wayne one year, who's just one of the truly great people that we've encountered in all the years we've covered Cardinal football. And so I'm always happy to see him. But I did say to him, do you miss it? He went, absolutely not. He said, I did my time. He was also a bowling coach, Greenwich's first bowling coach. Still a sport I have not broadcast.
Wow, we got to get you. We got to get you involved there.
I have to admit, I would like to do that. All right, ready to go. A fourth down play. Presley rolling left. He sets. He throws. He's going for the end zone. A lot of hand grabbing. Ball is grabbed in the end zone. Flag down. Touchdown. On fourth down, it was DeMar Taylor. And they're saying it was Harris who threw it.
Great ball, great catch.
So a touchdown from 20 yards out.
Yeah, there was a lot of contact down the field. I presume that's what the flag was on. It was on Greenwich for pass interference, so they're going to decline that, obviously.
And the extra point coming up here from Leo Kantrowitz. And the sophomore puts it up, and it is good. 3:54 remaining in the first half, and the Black Knights on the scoreboard. They trail Greenwich 21-7. We return to Boyle Stadium right after this. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Once you get the meat and cheese for your sub freshly sliced right in front of you at Jersey Mike's, I'll tell you, there's no going back to anything else. That'd be like going back to dial-up internet. Am I connecting to space to order Jersey Mike's? Any day now. Okay, it's about to connect. What? Well, who picked up the phone? Nope. There's no going back once you see it freshly sliced at Jersey Mike's. A sub above.
Back in Stamford, 21-7. After an 11-play drive for the Black Knights.
11 plays, 80 yards, and that's the kind of offense that Stamford would like to run. They'd like to have those long drives, you know, mixing in the run and the pass, you know, pretty equally. You know, that's the kind of offensive show that they would like to put on today.
11 plays, 80 yards, 5 minutes.
You know, and it goes from 21-0, and now it's 21-7. You know, now it's back to being a game again. And so if you're Stamford, you know, you stopped Greenwich, you forced a missed field goal, then you took that possession and went right down the field and scored a touchdown. So Stamford's captured some of the momentum back at this point in the game. And let's see how Greenwich responds.
And the kickoff on the way. This is a bouncer right up the middle. Goes to a Cardinal, steal, makes a turn at the 25. Gets to the 31-yard line. Not terrible field position for the Cardinals. They will start with what seems to be 3:52 remaining in the first half. I say seems because you're not quite sure with the Boyle Stadium scoreboard, and that is a long-time scoreboard. They have changed things up quite a bit over the years. This was AstroTurf when I first started doing games here. I told you about the booth earlier. That has been moved and rebuilt, so there have been changes over the years. It's now a turf field. That looks like it's getting a little older as well, but the scoreboard, that's been here for 25 years easily.
You took the words right out of my mouth there.
Ball at the Greenwich 32 from left to right, and D'Angelo will put it into the gut of Lopez, who will rumble to the 36. Straight up the gut. A gain of 5. Tackled by Jonathan Paul. A little bit of a smoky smell here this afternoon.
Yeah, I wonder who's cooking something.
that's going to
make me hungry sitting here.
That is counter to the farmland smell that I took in last night up in Salisbury in the northwest corner of the state. If you know what I mean by farm smell, you get the idea. Five-man rush for the Black Knights. Back to the ground. Lopez goes right, turns, brings it across the 40 near the 43-yard line. Couple of tacklers there. Harris as well as Brandon Brutus. But it'll be a Cardinal first down. They will mark it actually with forward progress to the 44 after a gain of 8. 2:54 remaining first half, and D'Angelo has that pass tipped away, knocked aside by Jonathan Paul as he was trying to go left to O'Donnell. Second and 10. Next Friday, I go out of Connecticut completely. I go to New York for a game. Not on GCH, but I'm heading to Kingston, New York next Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, been a while since I've been to Dietz Stadium. Another stadium that is a little bit of an older facility as Lopez takes and moves across the 45 to the 47 for a gain of 3. Stop made by Paul, but also getting a major refurbishing. Huge remodeling, courtesy of New York State.
Big play here, third and six.
And moving across the line, Dean Lulani, the senior linebacker, came over.
Well, Greenwich doesn't need any help. They're pretty good as it is.
First penalty, Dan, against the Black Knights today.
Yeah.
21-7 Greenwich with 2:26 remaining in the first half.
So instead of third and six where you're looking, you can get after the quarterback a bit on third and long. Now it's third and one.
Yep.
Changes your defensive strategy quite a bit.
And they'll go to the ground. Lopez just following his blockers, almost broke away. He'll get to the Black Knight 40. Ty Cord was in the middle of the stop.
You know, and Hector Lopez is listed at 5'8", 140, so he's not the kind of player you would expect to just go bruising guys right up through the middle between the tackles, but that's exactly what he's been doing.
Two receivers out to the left, D'Angelo to throw, looking, lobs, looking for Martin, almost had him, missed him by a few yards. Matched up man-to-man with Brutus.
Yeah, they like that matchup of having Blake Martin line up outside and having him run a go route down the seam, and this is the second time they've tried it. He's been able to get a step on the defender in that one-on-one matchup, but D'Angelo has not been able to connect with him so far.
That'll be Middletown High School football against Kingston High School next Friday at Dietz. Back to the ground they go. Cardinals right up the middle, and boy, there was more there. As moving inside the 35 to the 33 was Lopez, but he got run into.
Yeah, another nice job by this Greenwich offensive line up front, and then Lopez pounding it between the tackles. There is a lot of running room inside right now for Greenwich.
1:41 remaining first half, 21-7 Greenwich. A third down coming up, call it third and five, and it's going to be D'Angelo himself. He ran around the left side off the play fake, also knocked the official down, so they will stop play immediately, but it'll be a first down for the Cardinals. D'Angelo used an excellent play fake, and they had him. The Black Knights were thinking Lopez had the ball, but it was D'Angelo running for a first down.
Yeah, when their running game is clicking on all cylinders, they are great at that design run where it's an option, where you can either hand it to Lopez inside or D'Angelo keeps it and runs around on the outside. And when both of those guys are running well, it's very difficult to read as a defender because you got to account for both of them at the snap. And it's worked very well for Greenwich, not just today, but also so far this season in general.
It was a gain of 11. The official is coming up to his feet. Cardinal trainer Pete Falla came sprinting off the sideline as soon as the play happened. Some of the Cardinal players were waving to Pete to come out and check on the official. Donnie Panapata also out there. Tony Morello lingering nearby, and it looks like they're going to help the official off to the sideline and at least get him something to drink.
Yeah, he took a hard hit on that one, and, you know, sometimes I wonder why these umpires and back judges don't wear pads themselves.
I know.
Because you're right in the middle of the action there, lined up basically with the linebackers. That's a tough spot to be in.
First down for the Cardinals now at the Stanford 33-yard line. Make it the 23, as this is Lopez. Sidesteps one man straight ahead, touchdown.
We've been talking this whole first half about Greenwich's ability to run the football between the tackles, and Lopez has had himself quite an afternoon so far. That's another run play where the line just opens up, and he can run straight through with not a whole lot between him and the end zone.
And the extra point by Ravina is end over end and good. 28-7 Greenwich, 1:23 remaining in the first half. We will stay here as we reach the end of the first half. Sean will take over with the halftime extravaganza. He will have all the scores and whatever else information would be on his mind, various sound effects and whatnot.
Oh, those guys always have tricks up their sleeve back at the broadcast booth.
Yeah, too many.
Back at the studio, rather.
Too many years of working with Sean. I know I know a few of the tricks he has.
That's why we love Sean. We love having him around.
Cardinals come out to kick it away.
Yeah, but this was a huge drive for Greenwich because, you know, as I said, Stanford had sort of clawed back some momentum. And the way you seize back the momentum in your favor is to have a long, sustained drive that goes for a touchdown. And, well, that's exactly what Greenwich just did. They had a response of their own. And let's see if, with minimal time here, if Stanford can put something together before the half.
9 plays, 68 yards, and 2 minutes and 29 seconds. And here's the approach in the boot. It's just a little squibber that is downed immediately by Raphael Boynton at the 35-yard line.
I think they tried that squib kick again. They tried against West Haven and were able to recover it. Stanford was in right place at the right time to come up with that one.
Well, you've got a minute 18. You've got a timeout to play with. And you had a good drive on the last time you touched the ball.
Yeah, you know, if I'm Stanford, I'm running out there and, you know, I've got time to get some points on the board. I'm going out there thinking points at this rate. No reason not to. You're coming off a pretty solid drive. You know, the offense finally came alive there. So let's see if they can build on that here.
First down. Shotgun snap taken. New quarterback in for the Knights. Let's keep an eye on that. But initially, the handoff goes to Huron. He'll get to the 39 for a gain of 4. That is Jack Healy, a sophomore who has come on.
Yeah, we are going to have to keep an eye on EJ Presley. But yeah, so the young man's getting some work in here. It's a sophomore.
Second and 6. Huron tries the left side. He'll get to the 41. But he's brought down. First to get him for the Cardinals was Anesta.
Yeah, and that does change some of the calculus here for Stanford on offense.
37 seconds remaining in the first half, and the Black Knights certainly running the ball. That means you're in no rush.
Yeah, you wonder if Presley was healthy and in this football game, they might attack this drive differently, you know, pushing the ball down the field. It seems like at this point, You don't want to say they're content to go into the half, but they're kind of settling for that at this point.
Down to 11, 28-7 Greenwich here at halftime almost. Third down again, Huron. Right side, first down, and Moore breaks into the secondary, gets to the Greenwich 45. But the clock has expired. The referee takes the hat off, and the first half has come to an end. So we have reached halftime. And the Greenwich Cardinals with a 28-7 lead at the end of the first 24 minutes of play. What do you think, partner?
Well, you know, we said that they were going to pick up where they left off, or were they going to be slow out the gate in the first half and kind of, you know, coming off that high against West Haven, and you didn't see any rust from them in the first quarter, that's for sure. I think Stanford did a good job of trying to level off this game in the second quarter, getting some momentum back on both offense and defense. But Greenwich, you know, with an exclamation point drive there right at the end of the half there to really cement back the momentum in their direction at the half. And look, you know, say whatever you want, but to be in a playoff spot, playoff rematch from a year ago on the road at Stanford to be up 28-7, I think the coaching staff for Greenwich is going to be very happy with that.
And for the Black Knights, frustration in that they have not beaten the Cardinals in this century. They are 0-10 going back to games at least since 2005. And I know, you know, the Cardinals have won most of these matchups fairly definitively. There was a 7-0 win back in 2010, but beyond that, it has been some pretty big numbers, including last year's playoff win of 47-21. So, you know, you can't help but be a little frustrated if you're Donnie Panapata as you reach halftime wondering, okay, what do we do? I'll be very interested to see what they will do. Cardinals get the ball to start the second half.
Yeah, Cardinals get the ball to start, and I'm curious, and I'm sure we're all curious about the health of E.J. Presley.
Absolutely,
you know, leaving this game towards the end of the first half, I think that's going to go a long way to deciding if Stanford can make a run at this game in the second half. But, yeah, you know that Coach Panapata, he really wants to beat Greenwich, really wants to make this a game here in the second half. So we'll see if he can come up with something here on either side of the football to make Greenwich sweat a little bit here in the second half.
13 minutes on the clock. Sean Kilkelly, it's all yours. Halftime here at Boyle Stadium, Greenwich 28 and Stanford 7. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Connecticut's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference and the Connecticut Association of Athletic Directors.
You're listening to the sports voice of Fairfield County, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Chicken Joe's at 231 East Putnam Avenue in Koskob has fried chicken, gourmet wraps, barbecue chicken, homemade salads, fresh cut nuggets, and much more. And you'll find Chicken Joe's food truck at all GHS home games, as well as all GYFL games. Buy any NFL team hat from Chicken Joe, and 30% of the purchase goes to the GYFL. And for catering and takeout orders, call 203-861-0099. That's 203-861-0099. Chicken Joe's. Oh, yeah.
Glenville Shell at 222 Glenville Road is the place to refill and replenish and has been for over 100 years. A true old-fashioned, full-service gas station combined with today's modern convenience store. They can keep your car running at its best or bring it back to life with their full repair service. Also, take advantage of Glenville Shell's full-service gasoline fill-ups along with tire pressure check and refill. Or just as happily, you can pump your own. For a service appointment, call Glenville Shell at 203-531-9147.
And welcome back to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. I'm Sean Kilkelly in the home studios on this Saturday afternoon. The Greenwich Cardinals have a 28-7 lead over the Stanford Black Knights. It's halftime. Taking a look at some other scores in Connecticut football this afternoon, Wilton and Norwalk, they are just underway, scoreless between those two teams. Later on at 2, it's St. Joe's and West Hill. Both teams have won their first games of the season. Harding is on the road at Amity. That game kicks off at 1:30. And it will be a couple other games, Bassick at Wilbur Cross, and Derby on the road at Crosby. That game actually is just underway. Score here, Greenwich 28, Stanford 7. And we'll take a look at some Section 1 football games taking place. Just starting, it is Byram Hills. They are home against Croton. Valhalla, they are on the road at Haldane. Valhalla 1-0, Haldane 2-0. That game gets underway in about 20 minutes from now. Woodlands on the road at Hastings. Pelham, they visit Bronxville tonight. That game starts at 6 o'clock. Brewster at John Jay, also starting at 6 o'clock this evening. 7 o'clock tonight, Westlake, they are at home against Wry Neck. The score here, Greenwich 28, the Stanford Black Knights 7. Halftime, we'll get back out to the guys for third quarter action in just a little while from now. College football action this afternoon. Ohio State, they lead Marshall 14-7, about 11 minutes to go in the second quarter. Clemson all over NC State 28-7, about 7.5 minutes to play in the opening quarter. And it is UCLA on the road at LSU, Georgia Tech on the road at Louisville, Notre Dame hosts Miami of Ohio, Penn State, they are at home this afternoon, 3:30 kickoff, as they will host Kent State. USC, they travel to Michigan, 3:30 start for that game. Oklahoma State, they host Utah, Vanderbilt at Missouri, and Miami of Florida, they are at South Florida tonight at 7 o'clock. Good game tonight in Norman, Oklahoma, as the Sooners, they are at home hosting Tennessee, 7:30 kickoff between those two teams. Kansas State, they are on the road tonight at BYU. That game kicks off at 10:30. In overtime last night, it was Illinois defeating Nebraska 31-24. Once again, the score right here, the Greenwich Cardinals, they have a 28-7 lead over the Stanford Black Knights. Third quarter action coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Baseball action, the Yankees, they are back at it tonight in Oakland against the A's. That game will start at 9:05 this evening. The Dodgers host the Rockies, White Sox at the Padres, Guardians at the Cardinals, Milwaukee, they're at home against the Diamondbacks. Astros, they host the Angels, Mariners at the Rangers, Kansas City, they host the San Francisco Giants. And in about 3 hours from now, the New York Mets, they are at home against the Philadelphia Phillies. Blue Jays at the Rays, Twins visiting Boston, Baltimore hosting Detroit. And in about 15 minutes from now, the Pirates are on the road against the Reds. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals Football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Once you get the meat and cheese for your sub freshly sliced right in front of you at Jersey Mike's, I'll tell you, there's no going back to anything else. That'd be like going back to dial-up internet. Ugh. Am I connecting to space to order Jersey Mike's? Any day now. Okay, it's about to connect. What? Who picked up the phone? Nope, there's no going back once you see it freshly sliced at Jersey Mike's. A sub above.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Connecticut. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference and the Connecticut Association of Athletic Directors.
And welcome back to Greenwich Cardinals Football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. I'm Sean Kilkelly in the home studios on this Saturday afternoon. Greenwich with a 21-point lead over Stanford. It is 28-7 at the half. We'll travel over to Section 1 now and take a look at some scores from last night. It was Peekskill defeating Poughkeepsie 26-6. Tuckahoe fell at Putnam Valley 26-7. North Rockland losing at Mamaroneck 20-14. Ketchum defeating the White Plains Tigers 48-30. And Fox Lane, they beat Eastchester 18-13. Pearl River defeating Pleasantville 7-3. Arlington beating New Rochelle by a touchdown 13-6. And Carmel beating Suffern by two touchdowns 35-21. Other scores in Section 1 last night. Ardsley just beating out Nanuet 21-20. Somers over Mayapak 42-20, and Yorktown defeating Lakeland 35-7. Back to Connecticut last night, full slate of games. Manchester over Hall 21-14. New Canaan beating Ward 41-7. Ledyard shutting out Plainfield 42-0. Griswold over Montvale 42-19. Hillhouse over Stratford 42-6. Massac defeating Enfield 49-6. Weathersfield shutting out Avon 39-0. New Britain all over East Hartford 60-20. Bonnell beating NFA 58-0. Killingly with the victory against East Lyme 49-0. Guildford was victorious 49-20 over Pomperog. Southington, they defeated Kennard 42-7. And Xavier, they lost at Sheehan 31-28. The score right here, the Greenwich Cardinals ahead of Stanford 28-7. A few minutes from now, we will start third quarter action. Some other scores from last night. Naugatuck defeating Holy Cross 35-24. Darien defeating McMahon 49-7. Staples over Ridgefield 35-7. Foran over East Haven 21-7. Watertown beat Wilby 41-6. And Fairfield Prep, they lost at Hand 34-3. West Haven bouncing back with a victory as they lost last week to Greenwich. They defeated Shelton last night 35-14. Newtown beating New Fairfield 50-14. And Wyndham with the win against New London at home 42-28. Law defeating Notre Dame 41-33. And Bethel victorious at home 21-7 as they defeated Notre Dame Prep. The score right here, the Greenwich Cardinals 28 and the Stanford Black Knights 7. Some NHL hockey getting underway preseason tonight as there are three games on ice. Predators at the Panthers and the Wild at the Jets. Blues at the Stars. Rangers get back at it tomorrow as they open their preseason schedule in Boston against the Bruins. And the Islanders, they start tomorrow in New Jersey at the Rock against the New Jersey Devils. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
In 1976, Mario Gabelli laid the foundation of what would become a landmark in asset management. Today, Gabelli Funds manages $30 billion in assets for individuals and institutions alike. At Gabelli, located here in Greenwich, we don't just manage investments, we cultivate them through rigorous, bottom-up research, ensuring every decision is grounded in value and opportunity. Our investment solutions are diverse: value, growth, convertibles, and fixed income, crafted for the discerning investor who seeks more than just returns, but a partner who invests with purpose and insight. Experience investment guidance that's as personalized as it is powerful. Our commitment to you is echoed in every strategy, every insight, every risk-adjusted return. To discuss your investment plans, give our teammate Katie Durkin a call at 203-529-7525 or visit us at gabelli.com.
Gabelli Funds, LLC, is a registered investment advisor with the Securities and Exchange Commission and is a wholly owned subsidiary of GAMCO Investors, Inc., ticker symbol GAMI.
Hi, this is Gab Muir from the Class of 2019 State Champions. And you're listening to Greenwich Cardinal Football on 1490 WGCH.
And welcome back to Greenwich Cardinals Football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. I'm Sean Kilkelly in the home studios on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. The Cardinals rolling along nicely, 28-7 over Stanford. Let's see how things go in the third quarter. We'll send it back to Rob Adams and Dan Murphy.
Thank you, Sean Kilkelly. Third quarter getting ready to start. Teams are back on the field. We'll keep an eye out for E.J. Presley in the second half to see if he returns. And, I'm watching M.J. D'Angelo with a football in his hand, so he's clearly ready to go for the second half.
Yeah, we'll see if the Greenwich offense can pick up where they left off in the first half. They're here to receive the opening kick of the second.
And the approach and the kick. It's a grounder that is forced away by Kantrowitz. P- picked up by Noah Steele. Steele out past the 35. He'll get near the Greenwich 40, and the Cardinals will have good field position to start the third quarter.
Yeah, story of the first half on Greenwich's defense. The pass rush has been outstanding where they've brought extra men. They've been able to get through to Stanford's ball carriers. And on offense, that D'Angelo to O'Donnell connection worked very well in the first half. Three touchdown receptions for O'Donnell.
Looks like Mike Hearn is grabbing a Titan burger out in Ohio, heading to Kaleida for soccer and going to tune in to the broadcast. So hello to him and hello to all of you wherever you may be. D'Angelo with a first down handoff goes back to Lopez, and Hector rumbles past the 40 to the 43. A gain of 3 yards on the carry and tackled by Jonathan Paul. It was so interesting. The PA announcer last night up at Salisbury would not refer to any of the Brunswick players by name. He only referred to the Salisbury Crimson Knight players.
Did he at least acknowledge jersey numbers?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Okay.
If anything, he would say the Brunswick ball carrier. And here's the Greenwich ball carrier spinning around past the 45 is Lopez for a gain of two. It'll be third and four. And to each their own, he wasn't disrespectful, but you could tell there was a hint of a rivalry between the two schools. Given some of the people sitting next to me in my booth that I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard all about that one.
Well, always a reminder, there are microphones around.
Always assume that you're on the air,
yeah,
even if you're not.
Seriously. Third and four. And trust me, I've gotten busted, too. D'Angelo with a clap of the hands. Quick drop. Throws right. Incomplete. Intended for Martin. That pass wide for him as Paul was in coverage. And the Cardinals looks like they will go three and out for the first time today. Because the kicking team, led by Alex, comes on to punt it away.
We get to see our friend, young man Alex, in punt formation for the first time today.
We will work on the last name pronunciation going into next week, and I'll explain why. If you don't know, it might seem obvious, but we'll explain after this. Takes a belt high snap, kicks it away from the 31, takes a bounce, and it's picked up by Haran, and he's immediately tackled at the 20-yard line. So 34-yard punt and a minimal return of a yard. And the Black Knights will start there. Why can we practice such things? We will see Nick Fesco and our Cardinal family. We're going back to Greenwich next week. We'll be at Cardinal Stadium.
You mean we can actually play games at Greenwich High School?
That's how this works, believe it or not.
Wow. All right.
Believe it or not.
Looking forward to that.
Boyle Stadium has served as a de facto Greenwich High School home turf a bunch of times over the years, even as late as 2021. The Cardinals had to play a couple of games here to start that season as the Cardinal Stadium refurbishments were being completed. Remember, there was a point where you couldn't use the bleachers. They had been condemned.
That is true, yeah.
First down, pass goes right, and no, that is not Presley. That is the first pass for Jack Healy. It's incomplete,
yeah,
as he tried to find Marion Haran.
So let's see how Stanford's offense adjusts here with new quarterback in. You know, you're putting another quarterback in, so different quarterbacks have different skill sets, they have different abilities, so you know your offense is tailored around EJ Presley's skill set. So let's see at halftime, maybe they juggled some things around to switch the playbook around a bit.
Second and 10, empty backfield. He goes right, finds Haran at the 24, went backwards to try to get forward progress. They'll keep him at the 24-yard line. Too many Cardinals hanging around, including Santi Parra.
Total yardage in the first half was Greenwich 209 to Stanford's 111, so almost 2-1. Stanford, you know, regardless of who's under center, you know, they really have to try to get something going here in the passing game to start the second half.
And another night being tended to out on the turf. So a break in the action with 10:01 remaining in the third quarter, and Greenwich holding a 28-7 lead. You heard Sean giving you the scores at halftime. A couple of things I want to highlight, and one of them I didn't get to last Friday, and I should have. I meant to. And then I really didn't talk about it during my one appearance on Doubleheader. WGCH celebrated its 60th anniversary last weekend, and this has been my radio home for 27 years of my career. You're now a part of it. So many of us have been a part of it over the years, and I just wanted to take a moment and acknowledge the little engine that could that currently sits over on Lewis and Mason Street.
Well, it's great to be a part of such a historic outfit here, you know, a staple here for Fairfield County for so many years, and it's an honor to be a part of it. I'm excited.
Four receivers, two left, two right on third and seven with a blitz coming off the fingertips. Harris holds on, breaks out of a para tackle. Ball on the turf at the 35. Flags have flown. Greenwich has gotten the ball, but let's see what's going on with all the laundry. So the ball sits at the 23 at the moment. They've marked something off against Greenwich.
Was that hit to the head?
I think it might have been, yeah.
So that'll be a personal foul.
Mm-hmm.
Officials still talking it over here.
You know, I can't possibly run through every memory of being on WGCH as the officials continue to talk. And I can't possibly go through all the names that we have met over the years, but two people who can tell you a lot of stories, and believe me, we love to, are two of the people on this broadcast, and that's Sean and myself, because we have seen a lot of the characters and personalities that have come through our doorstep from the days of Dayton Avenue over to where we are now. It is being called helmet to helmet, so that is a 15-yard penalty. And it'll give the Black Knights a first down. So first down at the 38-yard line. Two receivers out to the left, one to the right, and it'll be a handoff. Trying the left side was Ty Cordy, is met at the line of scrimmage. Para, Kelly, and Inesta all in the middle of that stop for a gain of a yard.
The usual suspects, right? Coming up from the linebacker spot, and they're able to find their way to the ball carrier there. You notice how on these running plays for Stanford, it's not one Greenwich defender tackling. There's two or three in on the play, and that's been the case all day today.
Second and nine at the Black Knight 38-yard line. High snap, pass out to the right side, complete, blown up immediately. And again, Jack Kelly comes flying in to say hello, this time to Justin Bacco.
And this is not the first time that Kelly has sniffed out a screen pass in the flat. He read that beautifully all the way. The back never had a chance as soon as he had the football. He was set to be tackled right away in the backfield.
And he lost six back to the 32-yard line, bringing up what will be a third and about a long 15 from the looks of it, maybe even closer to 16. Twins to each side. Healy explaining to Cord, who stays in the backfield, setting up a screen that is thrown and incomplete. Bodies were flying on the ball as if it was a fumble, but it was not, and the Black Knights will be forced to punt the ball away. Cardinals leading 28-7, 7:50 to go third quarter.
It's a tough spot for the young man, the sophomore, to come into. You know, coming in mid-game, you know, having to fill in some pretty big shoes here with E.J. Presley out of the game. So, hang in there. You know, you're getting your first test against Greenwich's defense. That's being thrown into the deep end, I would say.
Butler to punt it away. Martin deep to receive the punt. Takes a chest-high snap, gets rid of it. Martin backpedaling, Poison gets away from it at the 25. And that's where the Cardinals will take over. There are some names, however, I would very much want to be able to mention to you in our history, and that would be, I think the first name that immediately comes to my mind is going to be Jim Thompson. I don't know who Sean Kilkelly's first name would be, but that would be mine. Because Jim was such a larger-than-life presence. We lost Jim a little over a year ago. But he was around for, I don't know, roughly the first decade I was with the station. And he just continued to loom even after he was gone. If he loved you, boy, he loved you. But he'd still yell at you. Low snap, ball on the turf. Black Knights say they've got it. They're looking for something official, and the officials are saying, no, you don't got it. It'll be Cardinal football.
Yeah, that was a sloppy handoff there from D'Angelo to Lopez.
But the ball sits at the 22, a loss of three.
It's a rare miscue on offense today for those two.
D'Angelo and Lopez stand in the backfield with one out to the left, three receivers out to the right. And Peter Von Velak is snapping it. Give goes on a keeper, with D'Angelo. Not a whole lot going on there. And in some ways, you're just running some clock down. Get to the 23.
Yeah, I'm sure at this point, Greenwich would be content to take some time off the clock here.
They lead by 21.
But, you know, we've seen crazier things happen in football. You know, you look at the scoreboard, and, yeah, it's a 21-point lead, but it doesn't take much to get Stanford back into this football game.
Sean just texted me a name, and I like his answer, as D'Angelo going left side to an all-alone receiver. It's Hector Lopez. He's gone. Touchdown. 77 yards. Touchdown, Greenwich.
Well, just as I was saying, right on cue, they swing Lopez out into the wide receiver spot, and he just runs a go down the left sideline, and it's thrown beautifully by D'Angelo right in stride. There's nobody there in front of him. About as easy a 77-yard pitch and catch as you're going to see.
Extra point coming up. And that extra point booted by Ravina. It is up and good. 6:12 remaining in the third quarter. 35-7, Greenwich on top. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell, announcing a crime show on Mondays at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH. All talk and all crime. The nation's biggest murderers were the go-to source for the Moxley murder and the Skakel appeals, financial crimes on Wall Street, inside the crimes of Russia's Putin and more. The facts, the forensics, the inside stories. From the host of Business Talk with Jim Campbell, it's Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell. All talk and all crime, Mondays at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Thirty-five-seven, 6:10 remaining, according to the scoreboard.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. 2 seconds, big deal. It's not the first time I've seen the number change throughout the day. Sean Kilkelly texted me a name that immediately came to mind for him, and he's right. This is an excellent call. Besides my mentioning Jim Thompson, when I started with the station in 1997, and when Sean started right around that same time, station was owned by John T. Becker, and we have to spend a moment on John T. as this squib kick is taken and fallen on at the 25-yard line, recovered by Raphael Boynton. And the Becker family, but especially John T., you could tell he loved local radio, and he loved covering local events. And we covered a ton of things. Dan, we did 100 sporting events in 2002 on this radio station. 100 local sports games. From the Bridgeport Bluefish to basically any Greenwich thing we could carry. And we were even looking to dabble into more Brunswick stuff. It didn't work at that time, but we did plenty.
Wow, that is really impressive.
Our dance card was very full. Greenwich baseball, basketball, football, hockey, you name it. We had nights where I would go do a basketball game somewhere. Sean Kilkelly would go cover a hockey game. One would be live. We might tape delay the other game. It was that kind of thing we were doing at the time, and we were just bouncing around constantly. And sure, you worried about paying the bills, but it was not the driving factor for the radio station. That's a big deal. Three receivers out to the right, one to the left. First down handoff goes to Cord. Cord to the 31. Moving back to the 26. And that's not to indict any other owner. I'm not going down that road. This is a positive conversation, and I very much like the people who currently own the station, led by Gideon Fountain. And Gideon, as a matter of fact, helped me find where I'm living, so I owe him quite a debt of thanks. Gideon walked into the station one day a few months back and said, "I hear you're looking for an apartment. I will get you a place to live." And he did. Second and 9. Right back to the ground, going with Cord, right side, turns it off the edge, flagged down at the end of the play. But the ball only going to the 27, a face mask against Greenwich will be the factor. That'll be a first down for the Knights.
Good for another standard high, first down.
You know, late 1990s, local radio was still a different world. You were still having Christmas parties out in town and going to, you know, all kinds of events and covering all kinds. And things have just, they've changed, they've evolved, and we're trying to keep the machine rolling. And currently, and I mentioned Gideon, we all have a monthly get-together just to talk, a little bit of a staff meeting just to see what we can keep doing and keep doing it right. And this is part of what we do right. This commitment to football as a flag flies right at the snap of this ball. And what will likely be a false start, and it is.
Yeah.
But I think back to our coverage of 9/11. I think back to our coverage of Superstorm Sandy, the major events, the investigation of the Martha Moxley murder, you know, the Skakel investigation, all of that, so many things that this station has covered from news and sports and world events. It's been pretty special. Rolling left now, trying to get out of trouble, and the flag's going to fly. I saw that face mask. That will be a face mask as well, and I think Healy got banged up in the process, but he comes right back up. He seems to be okay. So back-to-back face masks here in a 35-7 football game.
Yeah, you love the effort. I mean, that's Santi Parra coming in unblocked, and he gets to Healy, but got to stay away from the face mask there.
I also think about the countless friends that I've made, Sean being one of them, and what he and I were working on building with sports from the late 90s and bringing in people like Mark Rosen and so many other people that helped develop what became our sports sound, and the people before me in this position. Thinking back to John Connolly, who was my predecessor, Mark Yusko, who is, you know, still just one of the best, and I learned so much from Mark about not being so much a sports person, but about being a banquet host, as I have now become, you know, the host of the Greenwich Old Timers Banquet, the awards dinner every year, and Mark was the master of that. So I think of people like him. And long before that were people like Bill Daughtry, who a name that many of you would know from MSG Network and various work, WFAN and beyond over the years. Well, Bill worked at WGCH as well.
That's a name I recognize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a very proud history of this radio station that dates back to originally being on Putnam Avenue. And even before WGCH 1490, there was actually WGCH FM coming out of 1949 when FM radio, not a big deal at the time. And that's really why it didn't survive very long. Unfortunately, we don't have the amount of audio that I wish we would. There is audio of the FM signal, believe it or not. From 1952, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. I own it. It's quite interesting. Things you can talk about in the 35-7 game with 4:41 remaining in the third quarter. A second down play, second and two, let's call it, from the Greenwich 47, and the Black Knights will get down to the 44-yard line. It'll be enough for a first down.
Yeah, and in the age of smartphones and, you know, everything being at your fingertips, for radio to still be so important in breaking news and broadcasting, long may that continue. Because, I mean, that's obviously that's what you're used to, and, you know, that's what I grew up with. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, radio still being such a big factor nowadays.
Two receivers to each side on a first down for the Knights. Pass almost intercepted as that was thrown intended for Bacco, but it is incomplete. Cardinal defenders, and it's the same names we've been calling all day. They were all over it. Looked like the ball fell right into the hands at one point of Chase Iniesta, but he couldn't hold on to it.
Yeah, two guys had a chance at that ball,
yeah,
one
sure
from
did.
Each team.
It'll be second and 10 at the Greenwich 44-yard line, coming down to 4 minutes remaining in the third. Play action, rolling out Healy. Healy still rolling, avoids one, flips right, incomplete. Threw it to the Black Knights sideline. It'll be third and 10.
Well, he got rid of it, but he took a big hit on the end of that. Not going to be roughing the passer, but you really want to avoid those kinds of hits if you're the quarterback.
So
good job by, excuse me, Rob. Good job by him to, you know, escape out and, you know, get the ball out to the sideline to get the incomplete pass. So you're third and long here. Let's see if Stanford can get a big play that doesn't involve a penalty.
Healy out to his right, still rolling, rifles it. It's low and incomplete. Trying to find Jaden Hodges, a junior receiver, down near the Greenwich 36.
Yeah, there was nobody home on that play. And again, you know, the coverage in the Greenwich secondary has been really good all day as well. Nobody open on that. Nobody to get the football to. So now I have fourth and long coming up.
And it looks like four down territory for the Black Knights, which is fine, but you can't help but think you wish he had kind of nibbled smaller chunks off versus the incompletions.
Yeah, they threw past the first down marker on that third down play. So, you know, they obviously liked the matchup that they had, but now, as you said, you're set up in fourth and long instead of a fourth and more manageable.
Healy empties the backfield, and the Cardinals bring a four-man rush. He steps up, he tucks, he starts to run. 45, 40, down to the 35. He's past the marker. He's got a first down. Nice running by Jack Healy to get to the 34-yard line and pick up the first down.
Yeah, you know, what am I talking about? Just take off and run. You know? Easy.
I agree.
It's a good thing I didn't go into coaching.
Oh, you and me both. We mentioned we'll be at Cardinal Stadium next week. Bishop Hendricken down from Rhode Island next Saturday.
That's going to be an interesting game to prepare for, isn't it?
It sure will.
You know, out of conference, obviously.
Out of state.
Yeah.
Two receivers to each side. And the handoff goes back with Harris. Tries to push up the middle, and that Cardinal front group is just not going to allow that. It's a gain of two to the 32. No, they're going to give him a yard to the 33. That's it. Second and nine. I'm trying to remember. I only remember two out-of-state games over 25 years.
Is that right?
The obvious one that I'm sure a lot of people will remember Greenwich and Naples down in Florida in 2007. And then I believe it was St. Joseph out of New Jersey came to Cardinal Stadium 2009, I'm going to say. And that was, I think they won 41-7. They beat the Cardinals. It was an interesting night. And Bishop Hendricken next Saturday. Cardinals show blitz. Running right with a flag down. A stutter step by Harris. Goes to the outside. Turns it upfield to the 31. Maybe he got two or three, but what's going on with the flag? A hold is bringing it back.
Yeah, Bishop is a powerhouse in the Rhode Island realm of things.
They are.
The high school level. So it's going to be an interesting contest. Interesting to prepare for and an interesting test for Greenwich as well. You know, kind of going outside their class to see what they can do against somebody that they're not familiar with and that they have not seen before.
And I may have a little bit of breaking news for you, which is going to impact me greatly. Remember that Kingston trip I was talking about?
Okay.
That may have just changed for me, and my friend Kevin Halpiny may have a heart attack. But let me look into what has just been sent my way. The schedule's getting changed, and people aren't telling the person in question. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'll announce that in a moment. Sean Kilkelly, take note. And if Bob Small's there, you might want to pass this along. Hang on. Second and a lot following that penalty. Greenwich still with a 35-7 lead as we come down to the final 2 minutes of the third quarter in what has been otherwise a very sleepy third quarter. And now we get a little time to talk as it is a timeout. How are you looking for next Friday?
You asking me?
I am asking you.
Don't think I got anything on the schedule.
Greenwich and Bishop Hendricken is now next Friday at 4:45.
No kidding. That is breaking news right there coming in.
Breaking news to me. And
wow.
That is the second time in three games that games have been changed on you and I. So might have to go back through the schedule and triple check everything.
Yeah, because I could have sworn this kickoff today was at 1 instead of noon. So Friday at 4:45, you say?
That's what I just have been was told by a close friend of the organization, shall we say.
Okay.
Someone who might know, I don't know, the Cardinal trainer.
Well. I already am available, but, you know, I will make extra sure that I will be available for that day, you know.
You might be calling that game. we'll see about that. But anyway, I'll make a note here for myself. Friday at 4:45. Well, remember that trip to... there's a pass going right side. Tipped up and intercepted. Back at the 20. Turning around with it. Far sideline and out of bounds at the Greenwich 36-yard line. Julian Sorella, the junior, picked it off. That was a tip drill.
And Healy took a big hit on the back end of that. He was slow to get up. He's walking off okay now, but opportunistic defense at both ends with the pass rush and then in the secondary, you know, taking advantage of the miscue there, coming up with the interception. So a promising drive from Stanford comes up empty.
They'll mark the ball back at the Greenwich 31-yard line. From left to right go the Cardinals. Starters all still in. Two receivers out to the right. First down. Pass going right. That is low and incomplete. Trying to match up with O'Donnell. They have three touchdowns between them today, 2nd and 10.
Yeah, number 19 there has been pretty busy today. We were talking off the air at the half about, you know, the wide receiver core for Greenwich, and we were wondering at the start of the season who was going to emerge as that wide receiver one. And O'Donnell has far and away taking that title, at least for the first couple games of the season.
Left side goes Lopez on second down with a flag down to the 35. It goes.
There's a flag down on the far side here.
This is a hold against the Cardinals. Penalty number 6 against the Cardinals. With 1:38 remaining in kind of a sloppy and long third quarter.
You know, it does feel that way, you know, especially on the Greenwich side with the penalties. You know, coach always preaches 48 minutes of effort. He's not going to be happy with some of these penalties that they've committed here in the second half.
So I literally just wrote a message to the person who wanted me to go do Kingston Middletown, and I'm like, help!
We have a bit of a situation here.
Yes, we do. Second and 20 back at the Greenwich 32. And a whistle again, and it's going the other way. A false start against Greenwich. And look, you have a 28-point lead. I realize you take your foot off the accelerator a little bit. Not that any coach will ever want to hear you say that, but that's what's going on right now. It's a little sloppy at the moment with a minute 4 remaining in the third.
Well, coach is not taking his foot off the pedal.
Coach never takes his. That's what I'm saying. He never takes his foot off.
Yep.
Those arms are folded, and he is looking, and he is spitting fire right now.
It might be 35-7, but you wouldn't know it looking at him right now.
No, he doesn't relax until there are zeros on the scoreboard. Martin comes in motion. He'll take a little pop pass to come around the edge, and he gets thrown down. Nice play by Ty Cord on the near sideline. Back at the 16, make it the 17-yard line on what was, you know, third and infinity. Or what will now be third and infinity, I beg your pardon. The sideline marker, I don't know about you, but it's been tough for me to see today.
At times, yeah. Well, we're having about as much success reading that as we are reading the scoreboard.
Put it this way, the Cardinals have to get to the 42, so you are talking a solid third and 25. And the ball on the turf, D'Angelo able to get on top of it, and they blow the play dead. And so the Cardinals will likely be punting this ball away up 35-7 on the final play of the third quarter. 3 in the books. We'll step away and start the fourth in just a moment. 35-7 Greenwich. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals Football on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Garden Catering has become a Greenwich landmark for great food served fresh and fast. Now with 9 locations in Connecticut and New York, Garden Catering continues to make people happy with its famous nuggets, made from 100% white meat chicken with no antibiotics ever. Hand-cut daily, cooked to perfection. But there's so much more on the menu. There's burgers, sandwiches, wraps, garden salads, kale salad, vegetarian choices, all-day breakfast. So, go to GardenCatering.com, check out the menu and the locations. Garden Catering, food so good, you'll just keep coming back.
This is Mike Kern from Ohio, and you're listening to Greenwich Cardinals Football, 1490 WGCH, and WGCH.com anywhere.
The great Mike Kern, who is, as far as I know, listening, he said Dan and I sound good as we start the fourth quarter here. Rob Adams and Dan Murphy, 35-7 Greenwich from the cradle of FCAC football, Stamford, Connecticut, home of the FCAC championship for many years.
My secret to sounding good is my venti Starbucks I've got right here.
Smart man. Punt
That's right.
Coming. Alex will punt it away from his own one. Sends it high and over the head of the receiver, Isaiah Stevens, and this is rolling a long way. Down it goes, past the 10. They're trying to blow it further, down to the 7-yard line. My goodness. And the wind has picked up quite a bit.
Did you notice that the wind really picked up right before the snap, and the ball went flying over the kick coverage on Stamford? That is one of the punts of the year in the FCAC.
Mike Hearn's being a little pedantic right now, telling me he's not listening to WG. You are listening to WGCH. You're just listening to the Robcasting feed that also is in action, but part of the WGCH family.
That's right, and we are sophisticated here, and we have multiple ways for you to listen, whether you're listening to GCH on the air here in Fairfield County or online, or if you know a few tricks of the trade and you can find us over on Robcasting. Yeah, either way, we're very happy to have you along.
We're being listened to in Endicott, New York, out in Ohio, around the world. Wherever you want to pick us up, we're there.
Hey, high school football is a global sport, you know, in terms of where you're able to listen to it these days.
First down and the snap taken by Healy. He'll hand it off. It goes to Harris, trying to get to the outside. He'll get to the 10, and that's about it. A host of Cardinals there to make the stop.
I think that was about a 65-yard punt, wasn't it?
I think so. I couldn't quite do the math on it, but Santi Parra made the stop.
Elijah Harris.
It'll be second and eight. You know, the other thing I wanted to highlight, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but this is the anniversary of the closing of the what will forever be Yankee Stadium back in 2008. And I wanted to acknowledge that as well. Receivers to each side. They'll try it with Ty Cord, bouncing it to the outside. He'll get across the 10 out near the 13-yard line, but they're going to need about four on third down off a gain of five.
Yeah, the old stadium was where I went for about 10 years or so. My first Yankees game was, I think, in 97.
Oh, my God, am I older compared to you?
I know you go back a little bit farther than that.
1972, and a high snap goes into the end zone. Healy has to dive on it and knock it out of the back of the end zone. Two more points go on the board for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was a bad snap, wasn't it? I don't think Healy ever got control of it, and it bounced behind him into the end zone, and I think he did a good job to just bat it out of the end zone. You'd rather give up 2 points in that situation than seven.
So it's 37-7 right now with what I think is 10:25 to go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 10:25 because, you know, it's easier for my left hand to write a 5 instead of a 9, so let's just go with 25.
So, Cardinals will get the ball. Yeah, my first game was in 1972, one of only two games I ever went to with my whole family, including my dad. So those are, even though I was very, very young, those are special games for me to remember. So
72 was right before the renovation.
Yes,
right? 72. So you remember what it was like before the stadium that I grew up
and
with.
I have the grainy old movies to speak of as well.
Oh,
of
wow.
72 and 73, and that's where, for people who want to go, why Bobby Mercer, that's where it comes from.
That was Bobby's generation, wasn't it?
And that was Bobby right around his very best. 72 and 73,
yeah,
did not do well at Shea Stadium. That did not suit him well.
That's true.
Had a perfect Yankee Stadium swing. Black Knights are going to kick it off. Kantrowitz will put it in the air. Too deep for the Cardinals, back near their own 30. But kicking into the wind now. This is taken at the 45-yard line. It was taken by Jack Carroll. He gets into Knight territory down near the 37. And the clock at 37-7, I imagine, should be running.
Yeah, so for our listeners out there, what are the ground rules for running clock?
Well, it should be more than 28 in the fourth quarter, and that's where we are. But the clock is currently stopped, so any event.
So the running clock, for those who are listening out there, the clock moves regardless of whether there's play going on or not.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah, so even during timeouts, during breaks in play, the clock will continue to wind down.
Unless the officials, you know, due to an injury or something like that, find any reason to blow the clock dead. Otherwise, they keep it running. But it is currently stopped with 10:20 remaining. And a shotgun snap on first down. Bouncing to the outside, it is D'Angelo, to bring it down near the 32-yard line for a gain of 5.
Well, you know, don't tell Coach it's 37-7. He's still got a lot of his starters in the game.
He sure does. That was much to the disliking of the people in the booth in Salisbury last night, which is why I was muting the microphone at times. And they've got some good players at Brunswick this year. The Bruins will be outstanding. And so are these Cardinals, and that is obvious with 9:45 remaining in a 30-point lead. It'll go now to Lopez, moved right off the edge, across the 30, and a first down down near the 27-yard line.
So your first game at Yankee Stadium was 72.
Yes, Yankees-Royals.
Okay. Not quite a stellar year for solo Beatles, as far as albums are concerned. We have the Absolute Buttes that were
not
Wildlife
yet.
And
73, things get better.
73 is a good year. I would say it's between 71 and 73 for me, as far as the best year
for the four
guys releasing material. But yeah, 72 was a bit of an off year, I would say.
I'll come off a little disrespectful to Ringo in the process of talking, but yes. And no, maybe I won't. Maybe I can name one from each. This goes back to the ground. It's D'Angelo off that play fake, and he moves it down near the 25. So, band on the run. I'll go with, in that stretch is Imagine, Ringo, and All Things Must Pass. Is all right in that kind of window.
In that first 3 years, yeah. And if you want to go year by year, you can have an interesting discussion about which year is better. You know, straight up 71 with Imagine, McCartney with Ram, Ringo with It Don't Come Easy as a single that year.
Which is a great single.
Yeah.
Right back to the ground goes Lopez. He stretches forward to the 24. Meet the Beatles tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Dan will be on it eventually, I swear.
Have I given you a topic now for tomorrow? Or... You got something else in mind?
You want my dirty little secret?
Go for it.
We're rerunning an episode tomorrow.
Oh, you're killing me, Rob.
Sorry. Yep. I decided I'm going to the Big E tomorrow.
Okay.
Sean Adams and I are running away for the day.
Cool.
7:47 remaining on a 3rd and 9. At the 24-yard line, a clap of the hands. D'Angelo gives it to Lopez, and Lopez just happy to run and bounce off bodies to get down near the 19-yard line on a gain of 5. It'll be short of a first down. And you really are just trying to run out the clock at this point. It's a 30-point game. You want people healthy.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're trying to do here.
And I realize they're leaving the offense on. It's not a goal to run up the score. It's basically we're trying to keep the ball and run out the clock.
Exactly. Yeah, so don't fault Greenwich at all for keeping it here.
And right back to Lopez they go, and he pushes for what I think, if I'm looking at the sideline marker correctly, will be enough for a first down. Although the offense is starting to move toward the sideline, so maybe not. No, they have turned it the other way. It's a turnover on downs. The defense is coming out. Now the clock is running, by the way.
So they have started running clock.
Yes.
Okay.
Turnover on downs. Ball gets handed over. Let's pause 10 seconds. Station identification. You're listening to Greenwich Cardinals football.
You're listening to the sports voice of Fairfield County, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Rob Adams, Dan Murphy, and the always humorous Sean Kilkelly. We're with you from Boyle Stadium. And 35-7, 37-7, Greenwich on top. As the clock running down with 5:55 remaining in the fourth quarter. And a shotgun snap taken to the ground they go. The Black Knights will try the left side, and they'll get across the 20-yard line.
Well, you know what? Coach is still coaching them up hard after that turnover on downs. We heard some very interesting language from up here in the booth down on the field and a toss of the headset. So
you never stop. You never stop coaching.
No,
a gain of 5.
You know, in a school like Greenwich, where the expectation is state championship game or bust, you know, a spot like this where you're up comfortably, that's a coaching opportunity right there. You know, a chance to get a first down on fourth down, not coming up with it. You know, that's a teachable moment right there.
Black Knights go right back to the ground, moving right up the middle. And that's at the same time, Donnie Panapata showing you that we, too, just want to run out the clock. You're just trying to run the ball a bit, stay inbounds. You're down to 5 minutes remaining. It'll be third and, let's call it three, at the Black Knight 27-yard line. I believe they've got to get maybe to the 29. Two in the backfield, two out to the left. They'll go back to Harris, and Elijah Harris will come up short. He'll get right back to the line of scrimmage. So many Cardinals there, including Hunter Woods, junior defensive back. So again, if you didn't hear what I said earlier, thanks to, Kathleen Fowle, I'll go ahead and say it. 4:45 next Friday, Bishop Hendricken and Greenwich at Cardinal Stadium. So that is a change.
Yeah, it was originally Saturday at 1.
Right.
Right.
Which now frees up my Saturday. I gotta look into some things. Now I may have a trip to Massachusetts lined up.
Well, you know, that's the thing. When you're as busy as you are, there's always something else to do, right?
I mean, you know, shift this around, move that. Black Knights are going to punt the ball away. 3.5 remaining, and in reality, the Cardinals want the ball, and they basically want to wrap this one up. Punt on the way. Taken on the run by O'Donnell from the looks of it, right near the 48. He'll go into Black Knight territory at the 44. And it was indeed number 19. O'Donnell, 5'9", senior. So it'll be Cardinal football at the Stanford 44-yard line. Clock stopped now with 3:20 remaining. So that's interesting. That's all right. They keep you guessing.
No, they just want to keep us around for a couple more minutes.
Who wouldn't want to?
It's a beautiful day, you know.
It really is a fantastic day.
About as perfect a day for football as you could ask for.
Dan and I pondering our late lunch, early dinner.
That's right.
Didn't get to do that last week. And a new quarterback for Greenwich, Brando Craven, has come on, 6 foot junior. And he handed it off. Looked like Alex Whalen got the initial carry.
And now we're starting to see some unfamiliar faces, right?
Absolutely true.
Digging a little deeper into the depth chart now.
5'11 senior Jet Norland, one of the receivers. He'll go out to the right. Minio out there as well. Casey Baker, 6'2 sophomore, is hovering over the ball to snap it. And back to the ground, running with it, goes Craven. Craven left side, that ball is fumbled and knocked out of bounds. Black Knights had it, but could not recover it, and as a result, the Cardinals keep the ball. It's still short of a first down with 2:34 remaining. Although there was a flag, and that will be a procedural penalty against the Cardinals. So 8 penalties on the Cardinals today, and that was something they didn't do last week.
Yeah, they played very disciplined football last week. I think the second half, things have kind of gotten away from them a little bit. You know, you don't know if that's related to concentration or discipline, but
bobbled snap on 2nd and 16 and going the wrong way is Craven. He gets thrown down back near the Greenwich 38. Jonathan Paul was in the backfield causing havoc. 2:10 remaining, 37-7 Greenwich. Greenwich will be 2-0 very soon.
Yeah, you kind of look at the scoreboard and you're like, all right, well, it's 37-7. But they have been sloppy at times in the second half of this game.
That's not
something that you're going to like very much if you're a coach.
Bobby Stanley, the receiver, out to the left. Another bobbled snap and another ball on the turf. Craven dives on that. Back near the 28.
Well, I think on the previous play, Craven just dropped the snap. On this one, it was a low snap.
Greenwich will send the kicking team on to punt the ball away. Well, in theory they will, but they don't have a punter out there right now. Oh, okay, now a quarterback is running on. As Craven returns, now a punter goes deep.
Does anybody want to punt the ball? Do we have a punter anywhere?
I believe that's going to be Gustav Pietrika to punt it away on a high snap. He waits, kicks it. In the air, spinning around, kind of short, and going out of bounds near the 44-yard line. But that's where it is, and there are 48 seconds remaining in what has been a disjointed afternoon of football here at Stanford High School.
Yeah, you know, flying out of the gate again, Greenwich on offense, you know, building up that lead, and, you know, Stanford has been playing from behind all afternoon.
I have seen some absolute stone-cold classic football games in this building, including at least three FCAC championship games off the top of my head that were straight-up nail-biters. Two Darien New Canaans that I will never forget, and a Greenwich New Canaan as well that were was utterly fantastic. This one a little different today. First down for the Black Knights. They'll try the ground, and not much there. Quickly swallowed up was the ball carrier. So quick that I'm just now learning it was Nick Aim. Stopped behind the line for a loss. Isaiah McDonald of the Cardinals in on the stop. Joined by number 90, Jacob Mobley, 6 foot junior.
Yeah, Stanford willing to let the clock run out here, I think.
It is down to 15. Second down play, handoff once more. Moving around is Joseph Clemens, junior running back. He'll get to the 44, and that will run out the clock, and the Greenwich Cardinals will be 2-0. Final score in this one, Greenwich 37, Stanford 7.
Have a great night, everybody, and please get home safe.
An efficient effort for the Cardinals and really running on all cylinders, especially in the first quarter when they went up 21-0.
Yeah, I think this was Greenwich, you know, taking it to Stanford on, you know, all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. They looked sharp out of the gate here. The defense played exceptionally well, I thought. Do you see some things in the second half when you go back and look through the tape that you don't like from Greenwich? You know, lack of discipline, you know, procedural penalties that, you know, it's very difficult to play a perfect game, you know, in all three phases. So I know that the coaching staff is going to have some things that they can work on this week. But all in all, you know, Greenwich taking care of business here and another playoff rematch that we thought, you know, Stanford would be, you know, in prime position to put up a big performance today, but not to be, as Greenwich really, I think, demonstrated that they're, you know, in a class above schools like Stanford with a performance like this.
Stanford lost a lot to graduation. They lost a lot just in terms of skill from last year to this year. Last year's group was indeed extremely special. So curious what will be next for the Black Knights and how they can proceed moving forward, because last year was such a great story and you want to see them build off of it.
You do, and the thing that also happened today that you hate to see is their quarterback, E.J. Presley, going out of the game with an injury. We'll have to wait and see how severe that injury is. He did not return to the game after he left. You know, so for a team like Stanford that's trying to recapture some of that magic from a year ago, here they are sitting at 0-2. They've played two very difficult opponents out of the gate, you know, with Newtown and then with here today, obviously, with Greenwich. But 0-2 and your quarterback got injured during the game, so that is not a good position for them to be in. And for them, it's all about trying to regroup and get something going here starting next week.
Yeah, and for the Cardinals, that just an absolutely fascinating game next week against Bishop Hendricken. I'll be learning, like you. I'll be learning all week to see exactly who this team is that's coming down from Rhode Island.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, I'm looking forward to preparing for this game because, you know, this is obviously an opponent that neither of us have seen before. So we know that Bishop is a very good school. You know, they're a powerhouse team in the Rhode Island football realm. Taking the trip down I-95 to hang out with us next Friday. I'm going to have to get used to saying that because it was next Saturday originally, but it's been moved next Friday. But yeah, interesting game. You know, Greenwich now 2-0, you know, taking care of business with two challenging places to play to start the season. And now with a home game, you know, on your turf against an interesting opponent. I'll tell you what, if you're Greenwich, it's nice being 2-0 and to win your first two games decisively. By the way, 13 points allowed their first 2 weeks of the season. That's not too bad.
And Tony Morello knows he's got a special group, and he's letting his group hear it right now because I can hear him from all the way up here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's happy to be 2-0, obviously. Any coach is going to be. But you know you can do this better, and you know that 37-7, you're happy there, but you feel like it could have been a lot different.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get away with the penalties and the miscues that we saw in the second half of this game from Greenwich against a good school. You know, like, no disrespect to Stanford, but going up against the elites of Class LL or even against a school like Bishop, you're not going to be able to get away with stuff like that. And you're absolutely right. He was letting the team have it a little bit there in the post-game huddle. And, yeah, you know, like I said, the expectation at Greenwich, state championship, right?
Yes.
And so this is an opportunity for the coaching staff to really, you know, let the players know that that kind of play is just not going to be good enough and it's not acceptable. And yes, you take the win. Yes, you take the 2-0 start. You know, the 13 points allowed on defense the first 2 weeks, you know, whatever they've outscored their opponents by, it's a wide margin, obviously. But yes, there are a lot of things to work on if you're Greenwich, and that's not a bad thing necessarily.
That's not a bad thing. Nope.
You know, there's always something that you can improve on, and you know this coaching staff knows. This coaching staff is really good, I think, and they're good at identifying, you know, areas of weakness and things that have to be corrected.
And the Black Knights will hit the road next Saturday. They go they play at South Windsor next Saturday at 12:30. That's another one of the Alliance games for Stanford, just as next Saturday or next Friday will be for Bishop Hendricken and Greenwich. That's an Alliance game also. Bishop Hendricken looking to be part of the Connecticut Football Alliance because they're looking at, you know, teams that they can match up with. So they join the Alliance. It'll be fun to see them. And for Bishop Hendricken, they are coming off of, boy, I was trying to set this up and get it all through the computer. They are 2-1 coming into this matchup against the Cardinals. They beat Cumberland 35-12 last night.
Alrighty.
They started with a 4-point loss to another out-of-state team. They lost to Monsignor Farrell out of Staten Island. Lost
wow.
to them.
Well, they're getting,
they're getting around.
They're so getting their tour of the Northeast
they
here,
sure
aren't they?
They sure are. They played Monsignor Farrell, lost to them 34-30, then a 31-0 victory over Kellenberg Memorial. Apparently had a scheduled game against Barrington. They didn't report that, so who knows what that means. So according to what I have, they are 2-1 coming into next Friday at Cardinal Stadium.
And I did do the math. Greenwich outscoring their opponents the first 2 weeks, 61-13. That's not bad. 2-0, and we'll see what happens on Friday.
And we will be back at home sweet home, 4:35 right now, the intended pregame show, but it could be 4:30. I give you 10 minutes as a pregame show. Don't take that as, don't take that literally. That is not written in stone. Just my suggestion is turn on the radio or your device, the earlier the better, and we'll join you eventually. Because you never know whether there's a long Laura Smith interview or an early start by Dennis, an early ending by Dennis Dion Nardone. Today, it being that case, and Dan and I getting an earlier start. So just join us next week.
And make sure you're listening on time no matter what, because you never know what'll come out of my mouth.
I was going to say, you never know what's coming out of my mouth. That's what the expectation is. Anyway, a great first quarter. After that, you know, a lot of interesting things.
You know, we said at halftime of the West Haven game that it felt like there were two different games that happened in that first half. You kind of got that feeling here in this game, obviously spread out over the course of the game, because, yeah, you see 21-0 out of the gate. And then things got a little bit weird after that.
Yeah, I agree.
Uncharacteristic mistakes by Greenwich, fumbles, penalties, kind of letting Stanford hang around a little bit in that second quarter when you felt like they really could have put the gun, you know, put the game out of reach there before halftime.
Sure.
So there were some things that I know the coaching staff didn't like in that game, despite what the final score will indicate. But as we said, you know, that's nothing that can't be corrected ahead of next week. So we'll see. I'm sure they'll put in a good week of practice, and you know, they'll be ready to go.
And so we will see you next Friday at 4:45, Greenwich and Bishop Hendricken at Cardinal Stadium, and we'll look forward to doing that then. That'll do it from here at Boyle Stadium in Stamford with the final score, Greenwich 37, Stamford 7. The Cardinals are 2-0. The Black Knights fall to 0-2. Now for Sean Kilkelly, Dan Murphy alongside of me, I'm Rob Adams saying so long from Boyle Stadium in Stamford. You've been listening to Greenwich Cardinals football. The Cardinals with a 30-point win. We'll see you from home sweet home next Friday from Stamford. Good night, everyone.